you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Who are you and where are you calling from?
My name is Richard. I'm calling from Staten Island.
Okay, Richard. Your contribution?
My contribution was I was hoping to get on with a couple of people because I had an opinion question I wanted to pose that I thought maybe a couple of people could interact with.
Okay, Richard, hold on right there.
Okay.
I'm going to let you guys, Richard, you go ahead and let's see what happens.
Okay. Can everybody else hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. My question is how everybody would feel about the Don and Mike Show returning to New York airwaves.
All right, here we go.
How would you feel about that?
Now, wait a minute. No, I want to find the pig. I want to find the pig that's burping.
The pig gave birth to you, duh.
Okay, now, Mr. Pig, if you could just stop burping long enough to have some discourse here.
Okay.
I'd like to ask you a question or two.
Okay.
Richard, what is the significance of coming on a radio show with lots of people listening, parading yourself as a person with a reasonable level of intelligence, and then burping into the telephone?
You just answered the question. In your question of what's the significance of parading myself in front of tens of people that are listening to your show,
Well, that's
the reason. I am an idiot that likes to draw attention to himself.
Okay. Well, Richard, I want to thank you for your honesty.
All right.
I really want to thank Richard for having the and testicle fortitude to stay and answer the question. I really mean that.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, hi, everybody.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Welcome back to the show.
You fool. You go pee on her ass. All right. I can slap your face raw.
Oh no!
Yeah.
It's sure gonna be funny. Welcome.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call the Don and Mike Show.
That's it.
How you doing, Joe?
How are you doing, Joe?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike!
Well, hi, everybody!
Hi, everybody! Hi there, everybody! Hi, little brains!
Hey!
We're little brains just like you.
You sure are.
Yeah!
Weekend's over.
Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody. On this Monday, you just heard the phone number. 877-365-3636. I love the smell of birth in the morning. Let me start by congratulating my niece, Beth. The now grown woman who I planted one on years ago. Not a blood relation. My niece, Beth, gave birth today to a big baby boy.
A big baby boy.
So that's good news, and congratulations
to Beth.
And, Rob, you want to name it Don Jr., but I swear it's not mine.
Oh. I can't do it anyway.
Would she honor you by naming the baby Don?
Donald?
No.
They would only honor me if they named the baby Ass.
Ass Hat.
Come here, Ass. Yeah, right. Ass Hat and whatever her married last name is. That's,
you don't really know, do you?
That's how good I am.
No name,
his name's Chris. Her name is Beth.
You know the first name. That's all that matters.
That's all I got to know. Oh, and tomorrow is my sister-in-law's birthday, Robin. So I might as well just throw that out right now so I don't feel bad about forgetting it tomorrow.
Taking care of your family business.
There you go. And that's pretty much all I have. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
The Circle of Life.
Hey, Dan, how you doing, man? I would like to have an opportunity to play you in the Madden one day, man.
Flaming and the Madden. You know, I was looking at the message board on our website, and there is a thread there of people who would like to play me at Madden. So what I've done is gotten more than one Xbox Live account now. So if you are ever in a room, whether it be beginner, east, west, whatever, my gamer tag that I'll share with everybody listening to the show is Fuente. F-U-E-N-T-E. That's the
name of an invitation to everybody that wants to play you.
That's the name of the cigar brand that I love so much. So if you're ever in a room and you see Fuente...
It's not some gentleman from Cuba.
No, that's me. That's my gamer tag.
Or the Dominican Republic. It's really you.
So check it out. And you can send me invitations to play games and stuff. Because I've opened up more than one account now.
Right. And please do as this man does. Call it the Madden. Playing the Madden.
The Madden.
Right.
Do you like to play the Madden?
Play the Madden.
Sure.
Watch the cable.
Right.
Sure. It'll have to be east because I can't get in a beginner.
Okay. Well, I'll see you in the east.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Or just send me one of those email things.
It's a date, then.
He sounds tough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm up to it. I spent this weekend, as a matter of fact, wasting some valuable time during the unexpected snowstorm.
Yes. You call it wasting your time. I call it honing your skills.
Playing some guys in Xbox Live. Had a good weekend. I think I went 50-50 on it. I think I beat one guy and had one guy just absolutely just would not give me a break.
That's a learning experience.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio gods.
Howdy.
Hi. I was wondering if you think Beth will breastfeed.
It's an interesting question.
Sure is.
That's really funny.
And that would be the first time we've heard Mr. Hanks today. He presented last night. And I don't mean he was on the Academy Awards. I mean he turned around with his butt.
He was presenting.
And showed to everybody.
It was presenting.
Right.
Before we get to the Oscars.
Oscar.
Where's Topper Shut? I think on behalf of everyone who lives in the mid-Atlantic, we are owed an apology.
And an explanation.
Uh-huh. You see, they had us thinking we were going to get some type of a wintry mix.
Right.
And they'd really been leaning heavy on the whole ice storm thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got, at least where I live, 5.5 inches of snow.
And I took it personally. I took it really, really. At one point, I believe I really said this. These words came out of my mouth. Well, that's it. Look it. The flakes are still falling.
Uh-huh.
They're gonna do it to me one way or the other.
Yes,
I wasn't
are.
Talking to anybody in particular, but I had a hockey game to go to, first time in 7 years, and I wanted to go. And right after the guy comes on and says, if you don't have anywhere to be, if it's an emergency, and he didn't say like if you have plans you can't change. He modified it later. But he said, if you have an emergency, unless it's a real emergency, the VDOT is asking you to stay off the roads. And that's when I went, okay, that's what they want to do. As the snow continued to fall after it was predicted to be an ice event.
We do have Topper Shut on the phone.
Oh, I'm mad.
Chief Meteorologist from WUSA Channel 9. Hey, Topper.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Now, here we go. Before we get to the apology, of which I hope there is one.
That definitely was a surprise. No doubt about that.
That's about
that's
as much as you're going to get to an apology
that's
from a weather guy.
Right.
I didn't work the weekend. I mean, I only worked Wednesday. I mean, Friday.
Throw him under the bus.
But I got to tell you, I was in here Sunday morning with Howard, and it was a surprise.
Now, Topper, what's the deal? They call you in when things are changing? Is that how that works?
No, it's my call. I come in.
Okay, so
excuse me, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I was watching this. This is why I was surprised that you guys missed the snow, because on Saturday, Howard Bernstein says, hey, and tomorrow, the big guy's going to be here. Topper Shut's going to be in all day tomorrow, and Topper Shut doesn't come in on Sunday morning, right? So I figure these guys got to know.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Something.
Well, honestly, we thought it was going to be a bad ice storm. We really did. And, I mean, up until early Sunday morning, we thought it was going to be an ice storm.
When did you really definitively know that it was going to be more of a snow deal turning to rain?
When you looked out the window?
Now, once we had people look out the window, forest west of town.
Okay.
Once we confirmed that this big, hairy batch of precip was snow, because it was showing up like it was sleet, and we had some storm reports come in via our website, and they reported snow
Excuse me, Topper. Hold on a second. You're running a bit long with your explanation.
Are we using the Academy Award music if somebody runs long with their explanation?
Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. A one-time-only reunion performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th Annual Academy Award.
Only if someone runs
that
long.
That is too good. Oh,
only
I
if they
tell.
Run long. Well, Topper, okay, you guys, so you screwed the pooch.
Any chance of another big storm, you think, before we're done with this horrible
Well,
winter?
You know, there's actually some more cold air left, so there's a chance. I mean, I haven't given up the ghost just yet, but...
You got to be happy that we got snow.
I mean, I am happy. We're happy it occurred on a Sunday, and it was... I think what I was worried about, remember the ice storm they had Valentine's Day in southern Maryland? That's what I was worried hitting Mogo and Fairfax. And that would have been a disaster.
Mogo?
Montgomery County?
Yeah. I like Mogo.
Yeah. Mogo.
Can we steal that?
Sure.
All right,
sure.
Good stuff.
All right, well, there he is, a stand-up guy, and that's not a
and
short joke.
And just remember
joke.
One thing, Donovan.
Yes, Topper.
I would rather be wrong for the right reasons than right for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. You know, see, it's those kind of pearls of wisdom, and we can't get mad at Topper.
Remember, that clipper will break your heart every time.
Clipper will break your heart.
You remembered his last one.
Right.
You're a good man, Topper. Thanks for being on the show.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Oh, that is funny.
He's got the balls to come on and say they didn't predict the weather.
He works his butt off, too. He comes in there, you know, and say his call, and you get the impression. I picture Howard Bernstein getting on the phone and going, Topper, it's still snowing. You got to come in right now.
When I called him this morning, and he saw it was me because his caller ID says, right.
Hello.
Everything he said was followed by dot, dot, dot. Yes, I'll be in the office.
They just put it up on the screen that those guys at Channel 9 actually said yesterday that they did not get the weather right.
Ah.
Unlike the guy on Channel 4.
Oh, that guy.
Here's the problem with this guy.
What?
Steve Villanueva.
Hi there. This is what I'm looking at. There's some storms coming across the bottom part of the screen. Yeah.
There's a word with an S in it. Saskatchewan, Schenectady, sleet, snow, super, freezing rains. This guy runs it. Snow, sleet. Steve in the weather center.
Yes, Cherie. You got me in here because you're Charlie M?
No.
Thank you.
I happen to be pathetic enough that I was up at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. Just because that's
what you do.
I'm there. Like a dog. I wake up every morning at the same time.
Oh, I thought you were still up.
And got up, and there had been this threat of weather.
Right.
So turned on Channel 4. They're the station that has a local Sunday morning newscast, and I saw this guy who looks like Doogie Howser's friend, and he had the maps, and this is
exactly what he looks like. Oh, that really, don't throw that away so quickly. Vinny. You got to go back to that show, Doogie Howser, because he does look
record.
Like that guy.
And this was at 6:15, and he had the map, and he said, now, at my house, it was already snowing.
Okay.
Not the big potato chip size flakes we got later,
right.
But a pretty heavy snow. And he said, all the precipitation being the Mason-Dixon Shenandoah Valley, here in the metro, primarily rain event, 1 inch possibly of a slushy, wintry mix. 6:15. 9 o'clock, I got 3 inches of goddamn snow on my back door.
Yep.
I turn on the same channel. 3 hours later, same guy, same day. He's now changed the chart. And he wants to make it appear as if you, the viewer, are an idiot because you're waking up and wondering why it's snowing. Well, as we've been telling you all morning long, the snow rain line is very close to the Mason-Dixon line, which is why you can see here on the chart we have 3 to 6 inches of snow.
Some of you might say that I'm relying on my computers. Just a little bit too much, huh?
It was only 3 hours earlier.
Yeah.
That the guy had the exact same map up with totally different graphics.
It seems that the temperatures in the upper atmosphere have dropped a couple of degrees, causing the wintry mix to change to all snow.
And I think what people are looking for, generally speaking, is just a little accountability. Stand up at the end of this and say, phew, I said at 6:15 it's going to rain. Look at it outside. God, those snowflakes are as big as my big white teeth.
What's the deal? I've totally punted this one.
I wish my name wasn't Steve. Starts with an S. So does snow.
Thanks so much.
Sleet.
And freezing rain.
You know what he probably said? He didn't have to have that SH sound when he found out it was all snow.
Yeah.
When it just kept snowing and snowing.
Yeah.
And then, right after that, they said it was going to be freezing rain, and it turned to all rain.
That's right.
And the roads turned wet. It
wrong
was actually
true. Of course it did. They were just wrong about everything.
Mm-hmm. They were wrong about everything.
Everything. So upset. Called Mike yesterday morning. Said they, because I was mad at the guy on Channel 9.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I called Mike. I said, are you looking at this? He said, yeah. I said, I watched this douchebag at 6:15 when it started snowing at my house. I said to Mike, is it snowing at your house? He said, like holy sin.
It was snowing. I woke up at noon. And no, I got up.
You were awake when I called you at 9.
I was awake trying to rally the family for our little excursion and, you know, weighing that because of the hype around here.
Right.
I mean, in New England, seriously, you go out and you have a day on the roads with this crap. Mm-hmm. This isn't anything to worry about. Right. Around here, they make you feel, you know, really, I was weighing that because I said, am I being a bad father by putting my girls, you know, in the car when this snow's coming down? When really, even when it was snowing, what was it, 2-3 inches of snow?
Do you know yesterday?
Slushy snow?
To put it in comparison, I know everybody listening outside D.C. feels this way. Where you if you live in a real city where someone doesn't spit on the road and everything stops.
Right.
At one point yesterday, I was trying to get a hold of my daughter because I saw in Minneapolis they were having a real blizzard. And I was trying real hard to get a hold of her. I couldn't get a hold of her. Finally, I tried her cell. She's like, hello. Mm-hmm. I said, "Ooh, God, I've been trying to get home. Where are you?" I'm at Target. Mm-hmm. I said, what are you doing at Target? I had some stuff I had to get. Mm-hmm. I said, hold on, sweetie. Are you having a blizzard? Oh, not really. I said, how much snow do you have right now at your house? Oh, I don't know. 16 inches.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Just another day for them.
They got out the snow blower.
Right.
They blew out the thing. And they went to Target.
Right. Yeah, because they plow their roads up there.
And then she took my grandkids' shoes off and made them walk back home. Barefoot.
Who cares about the frostbite?
Backwards. But it was not a big deal.
Right.
She said in her mind, the weather that was predicted in Minneapolis was supposed to be a whole lot worse than it was.
Yeah.
And I said, didn't they say blizzard warning and stuff? She said, oh, yeah. But this is not a blizzard.
Well, I believe that after all these media sources had implored everybody to stay off the roads, I believe that yesterday, outside of people that had things to do, that were, you know, didn't want to change your plans, the other people that were on the roads, this is just an observation.
Yeah.
I could be totally wrong, totally off base, but it might be my observation that the only other people that were driving when they were told not to were people that maybe were not able to interpret the news due to perhaps a language barrier.
Uh-huh.
Accurate.
No,
that would just be the way I would look at it.
You know what else we saw yesterday during the news that is just so Washington, D.C.?
Mm.
Here's a shot of the Dulles Toll Road. Here's a bunch of cars that people have abandoned on the side of the road.
Yeah, they're cars that, you know, that people should not be in that kind of way.
Again, we're talking about 3 inches of snow, and on one of the major arteries going into and out of the District of Columbia, people are just leaving their cars and like, well, this is an impossible situation for me.
I give up.
I'm going to leave it on the side of the road.
Yeah, I can't do it. I've taken my rear-wheel drive car that weighs, I've taken my Prius out into this weather when it's not really designed for it, and I'm going to leave it on the side of the road.
Where do those people go when they abandon their cars?
I have no idea.
That is an outstanding question.
Do they walk?
I'd like to know the answer, yeah, because what are you leaving for that's so great when you're leaving your car on the side of the Dulles Toll Road?
On Route 29 in Centerville, Virginia, and would you say 10:30, 11 o'clock? Probably the teeth of the snow. That's when it was really coming down.
Yeah, that's when it was like whiteout conditions.
It was just absolutely coming down. And a car that appeared to be rear-wheel drive was pulling out from a parking lot in Centerville. And his wheels were practically smoking.
Yeah.
Sure, 60 miles an hour, but 10 miles an hour.
And just going sideways down the road. And I just looked at him, and he was on his cell phone.
Of course.
And at that point, that's when you want to have the James Bond car.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And just go, you know, shred his tires and just push him off to the side.
The other segment of population that was out, because my road doesn't get plowed till last because it's a little road, is the young buck in the four-wheel drive out driving around because it's fun.
Absolutely. You
and
get
you see
that
a lot
well.
Of that.
Well, let's go easy on those people.
Those young bucks.
those people sometimes like just getting out there and seeing what the car can do. And generally,
with lots of chains on.
Did you get on a major interstate, though?
Go wrong. Did I?
Yes. You didn't go on a major interstate.
No, I just went in my neighborhood.
Oh. The interstate that I was on Route 66, going into Washington, D.C., teeth of the storm. every type of vehicle known to mankind. It resembled rush hour, only it was rush hour going 8 miles per hour.
You really shouldn't head out unless you have a good vehicle for snow, like a Chevy Capri.
Okay, shut up, Rob. Did you change your license plate, incidentally?
Yes, I did.
Can I say what it is?
Well, what it was?
Can I say what it is now?
You want to? Yeah, go ahead.
Do you mind?
I don't know what it is.
It's a weird spelling. Is yours the car that says Aryan?
No, no.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
I've seen that one.
No, but that does park here.
It looks like your Caprice.
I know. John always thinks that when that guy, I think he works around here.
They think it's you?
He said, Rob's early.
Oh, I thought that was your car. Never mind. I thought you changed your license tag.
I mean, what would you think when you see a black Chevrolet Caprice with a tag that says Aryan? Why would you think it's me?
Your license tag still BMSC?
No, I've been through a couple. I just have a standard tag.
Oh,
now.
Okay. All right.
I don't even know what it is.
That's why I was wondering, because I thought, Aryan? When did Robbie get that fun? And it's like a weird...
I'd like a license tag that says Aryan, please.
It's a kooky spelling of Aryan.
Yeah.
Not your standard Aryan spelling.
I would spell it right.
Aryan spelling, which incidentally was was Tori's brother.
That's right.
You didn't hear a lot about him.
No.
Hi, this is Aryan spelling.
Aryan spelling. Blonde kid. Yeah.
This is Aryan spelling.
This is nice. What kind of car is this?
Caprice Classic.
Right. A piece of garbage, Rob.
Jesus.
That is a piece of garbage. hold on, uno momento. I would like to talk about road spray. I've wanted to talk about this for a couple of days.
You got the Supreme road spray today.
Here's the problem if you're OCD like I am. I'm nutty fanatical about keeping my car clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone, a week with all the crap building up on the car. But I've got the rear window windshield wiper, which makes it impossible to see except like a little 2-foot area where the little windshield wiper goes.
But you got it. It's a nice little accessory.
I got it. It's nice.
Better than nothing.
Oh, no. Agreed.
Because otherwise then you just have caked on stuff on that rear window. Right?
The problem is you're driving along and you get the film from somebody in front of you.
Yeah, almost all the time now.
And here's the question. Do you use the vital fluid... Or do you just think that there's enough wet consistency to the crap that's been up on your windshield that you're okay to go without using the fluid? Because this is my biggest worry.
Overusing your fluid?
That I'm going to run out of the fluid, that I'm going to bogart the fluid, and then before you know it, it's going to say fluid needed, and you're going to be somewhere where there is none.
Right.
And then your windshield looks like my underpants.
Right.
Where you just have the big off-color streaks where the windshield
you
wipers
talked about this a couple of times. All right, you know what? This speaks to a characteristic you have. This speaks to, it's the same reason you have a supply of cigars that would last you, that'll last well beyond your grandchildren's lifetimes.
At least through this weekend, Mike.
The thing is, you are more comfortable with having like 3/4 of a bottle of that stuff in your car.
Uh-huh.
You see, you're not comfortable using it for the purpose. That's what, it's the hoarding mentality that you
not
have.
Not necessarily, well, maybe to an extent, but also it's the whole goddamn...
You described the fluid as something, the precious fluid.
Precious fluid.
Well, it is. On a day like today, try going into a 7-Eleven, try going into a gas station and finding it.
Right.
Seriously, it's impossible. And if you put water in, what if it gets cold?
It freezes.
Then that crap will freeze right up on you.
This is true.
And
well, you got to use it when you got to use it.
And it's delicious.
I mean, if you know when you don't use it, when you get so much water where you can actually really where it just covers the windshield. But otherwise, you're going to do more harm than good. If it's just a little spray and you wipe, you're going to get that crusted on stuff.
On the way in today alone,
right?
I must have hit the front windshield wipers with the
right
40 times.
Back in the olden days, they never had that.
No, that's true.
They never had that stuff. They didn't.
No,
don't you remember in the olden days, you would have the button on the floor that you would hit with your left foot. It was
the button on the floor was for the high beams, low beams.
Yeah. No, but there in old GM cars, maybe it was a Ford that I had, there was a button on the floor that you pushed as well.
That had the wiper
to make
fluid?
The windshield wiper stuff come out.
The wiper fluid would squirt on a Volkswagen powered by the air pressure in the spare tire. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Well, back when I was a kid, they didn't have the salt technique. They used sand.
Right.
Sand is what they put on the roads.
Yeah.
And by the end of the winter, you just skid on sand all
day. When you do these spritzes, these 40 spritzes on the way to work, are you keep them short or do you really pour it on?
That's the thing is,
two cups.
Just one spritz is not really enough.
Do you ever use it for traffic purposes?
I would like to get the guy behind me.
Yeah, like on a clear, beautiful day. A guy's tailgating you is the greatest form of punishing a tailgater in the world.
On a day when it's not as valuable as gold, yes. But
you can't do it now because everybody's using it. Nobody's going to get mad at you anyway.
You can't waste it today. Mm-hmm. And Saturday I went through the idiotic exercise of going to the car wash. Mm-hmm. First I wanted just to go to the cheapo one that's like attached to the Exxon.
Yeah.
Who's the mindset of the person that gets there? And I counted in front of me 15 cars. I'm doing the math in my head. If it takes at the least for the average idiot 7 minutes to get through this little cheapy car wash, mm-hmm. who's got 2 hours for that crap?
Right.
So I was driving around, finally found a car wash, got the car washed, brought it back home, put it in the garage, and then today stood there looking at it like... You are so beautiful. I am going to take you out now, and you are going to be unbeautiful, and you are going to be dirty, mm-hmm. and there's going to be crap on your rims. And
well, it's part of the deal.
And then I looked over. I'm lucky enough to have two cars, and I looked at the other one, and I said, "Oh, but little buddy, you can't make." I'm really having this conversation in my head with my cars. Little buddy, I would take you out, but you don't have the horsepower that your big brother does. Mm-hmm. I got to take your big brother out, but. Gosh, your big brother gets so dirty when you go outside, and I get so pissed off at all the road spray.
You got to make sure when you have a little buddy car, you got to make sure that little buddy car, you know, that you occasionally take it out, even if it's around the block, so it doesn't get so ignored that it won't start for you.
That's true.
That happened to your little buddy car?
Yeah, my little buddy car, I had to go through the whole process of jump starting it this weekend because it was so ignored that it just... was sad and it didn't want to start. For
anyway, me. I know this goes absolutely nowhere. Where was that goddamn interrupt? I could have used that interrupted music when I was when I was going on and on about road spray, and the thing that bothered me about road spray and my goddamn OCD was about how do you keep it clean and how much do you carry in your car, for God's sake?
More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren, plus a one-time-only reunion performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th Annual Academy Awards.
Thank you, guy, from the Geico commercials. Before we get to the dissection of the Oscars, which we will, two TV notes, real fast. I think Mike was on TV yesterday.
Really? Yeah, no. I just found this out 10 minutes, right before we went on the air.
During yesterday's Washington Capitals game, so anybody that has that needs to get that to our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com, right?
Yeah, because we know, I know, I think you know Craig Laughlin, right? The color guy for the Caps. You've met him.
He's
the guy that talks like that. I'm Craig Laughlin.
I've known him for a lot of years.
And he's given us lots of good mentions during the Washington Capitals hockey game.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's what I'm concerned about. His good mentions because...
apparently there was a shot of you and your girlfriend in the crowd yesterday.
You know, not that I don't have total... faith in Locker, but, you know, if all I know is what I was sent, what John Norman was sent to the website was a still of the Comcast broadcast, which means, I guess if it's a still, it means there was we were on camera for a certain segment of time. And if we were, you know, it's me sitting next to Carla. And look, the fat jokes just made. They write themselves. And Craig Laughlin, I love the guy to death. And I just want to find out, you know, if I was Craig, I would have made a fat joke about me. So, and there was one particular still where it doesn't appear to be flattering. I wasn't picking my nose, but I believe I was rubbing the side of my nose.
Sure.
And it's just not flattering at all.
Anybody
you know, why couldn't
it?
They have shown my progeny, my beautiful children that were there, you know, all in the Capitals regalia. I don't know how much TV time I got. All I know is it was...
You must have been...
There were three frames.
You must have been mentioned by name if you were on there, right?
Unless it was just a shot of the crowd, and we got—I don't know whether that would have happened. Where you know we were just—I mean, they wouldn't shoot a guy like me if I was just there.
Well, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Please see if we can get those before the end of the show today. 24 is on tonight.
Right.
Tonight. Give me 1 second because I found something about 24 that I wanted to share with you before the show. It's a reason to hate actors, and more specifically, what did I write here? Oh yes. What does Rob Spiewak have in common with Fayed?
Oh, really?
Wow. And the actor who plays Fayed.
Okay. Brain teaser.
This is one of these behind-the-scenes things about 24. First off, these actors. It's such a load of crap. The guy who plays Fayed, his last name is Maropas. And I'm just going to read to you. It's like a day in the life of 24.
Okay.
As he cruises along the freeway, tears form in his eyes. As he thinks about his alter ego's state of mind. I have gone to the depths of hell for this guy, he says. Jack Bauer killed and tortured my brother. people drive and see me crying and wonder what I'm thinking, like, poor guy. I try to pull back my emotions, thinking, save it, save it, save it.
Yeah.
Please, jackass, what, you're driving down the road going...
Getting his motivation for being a terrorist in Hollywood.
I hate Jack Bauer.
All right, hold on. There's, I'm not to the rub part yet.
You're in Hollywood, the sun is shining, and you're crying.
There we go. Now we have Kiefer Sutherland. This is at 5:49 in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to do a stunt. Kiefer Sutherland and then this guy who plays Fayed.
It's the stunt where they jump into a Christmas tree.
This isn't effing working, Sutherland moans. Cast members are exhausted. In one move, Bauer is to grab Fayed. He's done it over and over again. This time, Maropas is staggering in a completely different way. Help me, he says. At first, Sutherland wonders if this isn't a new twist. What are you doing? He asks, before realizing, F, this is not right. He quickly lets go of Maropas and steadies him. Others rush in and sit the weak-legged actor on a chair. On-set medics bring an oxygen mask.
Ooh, thank goodness.
This is really happening?
Yes, now here's where he is like Rob Spiewak. An ambulance arrives to attend to Maropas.
Good.
This is the actor who plays Fayed. A diabetic, he checked his blood sugar level and finds he's fine. The paramedics put him in a neck brace. He is taken to the trauma center. He stays in the hospital until noon the next day. He is fine.
There's a pinched nerve.
Yes, a pinched nerve.
I never called for an ambulance.
My God. Oh, and one
the next day, Maropas is given a 3D heart scan.
One other thing from this article that I know you will be interested in, Mike, more than anybody.
Okay.
It's this behind-the-scenes stuff about how the Fox executives call the 24 people all the time.
Oh, really?
Ask what's happening on the show and what ideas do you have?
The slimy suits?
Yeah. Hold on. Beep, 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 beep. Don't know what the hell's going on. Oh. The dry easel board is starting to fill up, and the writers are busy reordering scenes. The network calls. They don't know what the hell is going on, says the producer, and tweaks them. Is there any way that Heller, seasons 4 and 5, Secretary of Defense, played by William Devane, can be acting head of CTU, says the president of Fox?
That would be a brilliant... Who's that man? Get his name, Jack. That's a brilliant executive. Do you have the executive's name that made that suggestion? I think he should get a promotion. He should take over the spot that Rupert Murdoch holds.
His last name is Gordon.
Genius Gordon. That's his name, Jack. I'm coming back. You heard it there in the article.
Thought it was interesting. Because you know, just when I was about to lose it on 24, I realized I'm... hooked on the show again all over again. Looking
we get
forward
to see the old president, the
yeah.
Michael Hughes
yeah.
president.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to it tonight. And then found this article over the weekend. Very interesting. And they all take themselves way too seriously, like it is. During one of the scenes when Jack Bauer gets into his Bauer mode,
mm-hmm.
and and you can almost hear him doing it or hear Mike doing the parody of it, because it says that he yells at someone about, get the effing scene right. Then he says, I'm sorry, I'm just really into the project.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like if Jack Bauer was roughing someone up and then said to them,
right.
you know...
We don't have a lot of time.
I'm sorry to be so abrupt. Right.
Well, occasionally he'll be on set and he'll say, know your lines! And then he'll turn to the cast and go, I'm sorry, I'm very hungover.
How about Fayed Spiewak, though? Oh, I hurt myself. I think I need an ambulance.
Well, that's, you know, you don't hear Fayed speak a lot, but the, when he really gets some serious dialogue, he sounds a lot like Joe Besser.
Come on. Let's escape down the road.
Don't hurt me.
Come on now.
God, did I say that to my girlfriend on Saturday night?
Yes.
You know, yes, I noticed she does this thing with me.
She's hurting you?
We went out with Buzz and Marsha on Saturday night. Oh, and the whole pause thing is true with Buzz and Marsha.
Oh, okay. She really does do that.
P-A-U-S-E, not P-A-W-S.
Right. That incredibly, that poor woman, I feel for her.
Buzz has his wife so trained when they're watching television, he says to her pause, and she actually,
she has to bark out pause.
She can call it
if
out.
She has a relevant comment to make.
Right. I got it backwards, right. She can't speak.
Pause!
Unless she says pause.
Right, or unless there's a natural break, of course. And in the response, usually, I would imagine, when Marsha goes, pause! And Buzz goes, what?
And for whatever reason, on Saturday night, maybe it was the three gigantic tumblers of sake that Janet had at the sushi place that we went to.
Those are good.
The more that she started talking to me, she was sitting next to me, Buzz and Marsha sitting across from us, sitting next to each other. She started with, and Buzz called it right, with the, like, you know, the Elaine, get out of town thing.
Pushing you, shoves
someone. She pushes.
Yes.
But towards the end of the evening, really, and it was just funny banter. She like, right. Oh, come on. No, we didn't. Boom!
Yeah.
And at one point, I said, really? I said, will you stop hitting me? And she said, I'm not hitting. And then she started with the Joe Bescher stuff. She said, oh, don't hurt me.
Was she or was she not? And very much like Elaine from Seinfeld with the pushing, with the shoving, and the hitting.
So we were asking Buzz and Marcia about the whole PAUSE thing.
Right.
And even during dinner, more than one time.
More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time-only reunion performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th Annual Academy Award.
We don't have time to finish that story,
Natalie. Sorry, we're out of time. We have to, we must break.
Oh, hold on a second. Where's that? What'd you just put in?
Pinch me, keep on dreaming. Ow, not so hard.
The late Joe Besser.
Yeah.
God rest his soul.
Great talent.
Ow, not so hard.
Not so hard.
It's a Wang party. There's a lot of Wang here.
A Wang party?
Yes.
That was Ryan Seacrest talking about all the people wearing Vera Wang.
Oh, who are you wearing?
It's a Wang party. There's a lot of Wang here.
There's a lot of Wang.
No, he's in his element.
It's a Wang party. There's a lot of Wang here.
This show's going to be funny.
All right, so... Gosh, how about when we come back, we'll talk about Buzz and Marsha.
Yes.
And we'll talk about the Oscars.
Oscar.
Who will win?
I hate the Oscars. I hate the friggin' Oscars.
You know what? You got your wish last night.
Yeah.
One of the worst telecasts I've ever seen.
And I know I got a case for it, really. I don't know what idiot, retard, mental patient is putting on, producing, and planning that show. But Jesus Christ, who is he?
Okay.
Off with his head.
It was the worst ever, as far as, I mean, not the worst hosting job, but certainly the worst presentation. It was absolutely horrible.
Why do you have, you got like maybe eight good categories that people care about?
Mm. People, the public, the people that you want to tune in and watch this on network television.
Right. In the first 2 hours of the show, I counted exactly two awards that I cared about. Like a best supporting actor.
I heard on the Today Show this morning, it was 72 minutes into it. Before they presented for supporting actor and actress.
And the one guy who kept winning for sound mixing and everything kept coming up over and over again,
mm-hmm.
like the third time that he was coming up there, they said, it's his first Oscar win. And I felt like, screaming at the TV, this douchebag has been the only guy coming up on screen. This is the third time up tonight.
And what the hell is Pan's Labyrinth? Is that something that you have?
I suffer from that, yes. You know what really could have saved the broadcast last night is silhouettes of acrobats making shapes.
Jesus.
If only they had had that.
Horrible.
Which was really
horrible.
Which was a bigger waste of time, that or the people who went, choo-choo.
Oh, the sound effect choir?
Chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga.
Aren't they fabulous? Aren't they just fair?
With Cirque du Soleil from the Super Bowl book?
That's right. It was the suckiest.
And don't make me say what I really said. At one point last night.
Don't say it.
I said it.
Don't say it.
Don't say it now.
Where's Billy Crystal?
Yep.
Yes. No.
I said it. There, I've said it.
Sure, Oscar.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
Would have been much better with
sucky TV show.
But I said it.
Yeah.
It could have been one of those 300 Sundays. That it would have been better with Billy Crystal. I've said it.
I want to thank one actress. Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Would you
two
like...
reasons to give thanks.
Uh-huh. And I'd like to say howdy to the queen.
Yes.
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren.
A lot of people.
Right.
No slouch in that department.
Right.
And, you know, Jennifer Hudson, during her big Dreamgirls number, had to go off to the side. I believe she had to. She was absolutely this close to completely popping out. And, I mean, she had the push-up, and she's got big ones.
Kiss my fat ass!
And I thought we were going to have a real pop-out there. Uh-huh. I really did.
It's a Wang party. There's a lot of Wang here.
Right, well, not enough.
We'll decide the future of the Oscars.
Yes, please.
I really think, at this point, you either got to call the goddamn thing off, or not to make everything like American Idol, but you got to bring those people in to fix this thing.
Yeah.
Really, you got, at best, 30 minutes of content.
Hello, my name is Hello, my name is Mr. I'm your new executive vice president. My name is Mr. Source. We're canceling the Oscars. I know it's a big deal for all you alleged industry people, but we are canceling it. There will be no Oscar telecast. Thank you for coming. 1 hour, maybe two.
We'll mail you your stupid statue in the mail.
Yeah, and there will be a lovely newspaper article the following morning.
There you go.
And we'll have a brief buffet dinner. Thank you. A buffet
to go. And now here's Hollywood royalty, Tom Hanks, to pretend he's better than you, because he truly is. Hi, it's Tom Hanks. As soon as I got rid of that faggot haircut I had in the Da Vinci Code, huh? Hey, there's Meryl Streep. Who threw up on you, Meryl? Such a pretty-looking woman. You play the devil names Prada. Devil Wears Prada. You come to this thing looking like you're wearing a goddamn homeless woman's outfit. Please.
Helen Mirren, though. You like Helen. Yeah. You like the queen. You like the queens?
Yeah. But the person that I hated the most?
Yes, who?
Will Smith's kid.
Oh, really?
That little bastard.
I like it.
That little cocky bastard. How old is he?
I don't know. I think he's 6 or 7.
Throw him out of showbiz.
7, 8, 9, 10, I don't know.
Throw him out of showbiz, little bastard.
How did he offend you?
Well, he is, like his dad, just too cocksure of himself.
Coming out going, hey.
I knew I was in trouble. My dad said it was a comedy. It was actually a drama, though. How about that, little Miss Sunshine? Now I'm going to read the wrong card.
Not a fan of stage kids, huh?
No, and Will Smith out there, you know, every time they show his kid, like, oh, that's my boy! That's my boy! Yeah, that's my boy!
How'd you like Jack? You got a comment on Jack.
I'm sorry, Jack has cancer.
We all are.
That's what everyone would say.
Jack's playing someone with cancer, Rob.
Yes, that's the deal. That is the deal. I like Jack. I like Jack.
That's not a good look for Jack.
Who doesn't like Jack? Everybody likes Jack.
That is not a good look for him, though.
And I kind of felt sorry for Peter O'Toole. Because really, I went back and I had it on TiVo, and when they were announcing that, was it, who won for that category? Best actor, I'm trying to think.
Actor was Forrest Whitaker, but it
Forrest
was
Whitaker.
Supporting actor that,
right.
that he was
he
up
was up for
it.
A supporting actor, and they gave it to Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
And right as they were going to announce it, I said, did he really do that? And I went back and people, he looked like he was going to keel over. He did this big exhale. Yeah. Where his cheeks expanded, and he just went, and he really looks like he's close he's anyway. Close.
Well, yeah. I was saying to Carrie when we were watching, I really hope Peter O'Toole doesn't win because he can't do those steps.
Yeah, it's a really
he wouldn't have made it to the stage.
Listen, I'm going to say everything here that I was going to say, but really, looking at that show, here's first how you save time: if you have to put all the idiots on that we don't care about with sound mixing and best costume design,
short movies,
put them in the front row,
right.
So that we don't waste a minute and a half with some big load who shouldn't be on TV to begin with, waddling down the aisle.
From the back of the theater.
Then it's another 45 seconds for him to do the European kiss on the cheek with everybody, then act like, I really didn't know this was going to happen.
I'd like to thank
Harvey
Myron.
Weinstein.
Myron Cohen.
Alan Goodman. Billy Crystal. And the whole time I'm waiting for... And they were not hard with this.
Right.
They were very liberal with cutting people off. They would just do the little piano tinkling.
Coming right. up, well, more Ellen.
I'm Kevin sorry, we've run out of time.
Tom Hanks and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time
reunion
performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th Annual Academy Awards.
Was that Mike? I'm sorry.
I'd say Al Gore. I'm just waiting.
No, go ahead, really.
Where are his greenhouse gases?
Oh, looks good.
No, but on a lighter note, you know, I really thought it was... Oh, I'm sorry. See, I think we should stop talking as soon as the orchestra starts. That's when they're supposed to stop talking, you know.
But we can walk it all the way up if you want. Or you
well, see, you walk it up because you're doing the DJ thing, but the real novices would stop talking.
More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time-only reunion performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th Annual Academy Award.
Come on. F you.
I was reminded, I was as a boy growing up in New England, it was such a special time for me and my mother and my father, and I think it's such a special time.
Holy ass.
What the hell are you doing?
It's really going to be handy. This is during the news.
I've already worked.
What, Buzz?
But finally...
Coming up, more Ellen. Cameron D.
Coming up, more Ellen.
More Ellen.
More Ellen.
More tuxedo Ellen.
Would it kill you to put a dress on, Ellen?
Yes.
We all know that you feast on the yeast. Congratulations. You eat at the Y. Your girlfriend's a piece of ass.
Mm-hmm.
Show us what God gave you.
PDR. Portia de Rossi. That's right.
Hot.
He went right for the kill. He went for the music.
We won't run it into the ground, Mike.
Coming up, more Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time-only reunion performance.
We do have to break here, though.
On the 79th Annual Academy Awards.
La, 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 la.
That's loud, too, isn't it?
It is. It's supposed to be.
Pause.
You tricky, you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
If you want to solve a real mystery, go ahead and figure out who's taking my New York Times every Sunday. Or, better yet, how about why anybody on the planet actually thinks Dane Cook is funny?
Hey.
The Don and Mike Show.
When he's right, he's right.
Right?
One,
two.
One, two, three, four.
It's in the machine, Mike.
Mang, mammy. Oh. Let's take our jet up to the sky, Iceman!
Now we're rocking.
Hello!
Hello!
Hello! Hello!
Their show is Novelty Store Big. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
All right.
So the Oscars last night.
Yeah. Oscar, Oscar.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, Don? What's up, Mike? How y'all doing?
What's happening?
Right, right, right.
Hey, man, listen, I watch Oscar for one thing only. I wanted to see Forrest Whitaker win, and after I saw that win, I just turned off the TV, man. That's all I had to see.
Yeah, you had to wait a long time.
That's a long time. That's a long time to wait for Forrest Whitaker to win.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Those are my hours I will never get back.
That's right.
That's not the reason I watch.
Why did you watch, Rob?
I just didn't want to see him win.
He's cantankerous.
How's your butt, Rob?
Yeah.
What's that?
How's your butt?
How's your butt?
Come take a nice close look.
Even better. Listen, hold on. Anytime you want to get to Robbie, just ask him how that wolf is.
Mm-hmm.
Ask
that
him
boy.
How,
that boy that cried.
Ask him how that... Oh, and incidentally, how's your non-pinched nerve? Robbie.
Oh, it's much better.
Any colder? Isn't it amazing how he lives at the microphone for most of the show? But when you started talking on that side, he finally finds paperwork to
there
do.
There he goes.
How's your arm, Rob?
How's your arm, Rob?
Why don't you come and piss it?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That didn't go
my
well.
Cold, white arm.
Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Got a gallon of washer fluid I'd like to deliver to you.
A gallon of washer? I know Don will take it.
Why don't you put it in the mail?
A little expensive.
Just put it in an envelope.
Weighs so much, you know, it would be probably, postage would be a little, probably pricier than the actual fluid
yes.
itself.
Just pour it in an envelope. Pour it in an envelope, and I'll squeeze the envelope into the windshield wiper thing in my car.
I was feeling sorry for it because you have such a long commute.
I have such a long, I got about a 30-minute commute. What do you mean a long commute?
Well, it's a lot longer than mine. Let me put it to you that way.
Let's say it's longer. It's a little longer than the average.
How long is your commute, my friend?
About 7 minutes.
7 minutes? I bet you never use any wash of fluid at all.
Hardly.
How did you enjoy the Oscars last night?
I love
it. You know, the thing that I remember about the Oscars that was really fun. Oh, dear. I think we've run out of time.
Oh, that caller. Sorry you're not going to be able to bring down the washer for this one.
Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren.
Okay, right. Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Howdy.
Hey, Don, Mike. Just to let you know, since you're such a big fan of 24, they're coming out with a 12-inch action figure that maybe you might be interested in. Maybe I could send you one. You can use it however you want to use it, but...
That's how I would use it.
That's how you would use it?
Only if it would fit in my bad place.
You know, I'd like to point out the name of the person that sang this on the show today, that made that last comment. It's Don, not Mike.
That's right.
Because I get accused of liking that type of activity. But I would never do that with a Jack Bauer action figure.
Oh, I would. That's Mike, that's where I draw the line. I would allow nothing in my butt except a Jack Bauer action figure.
Really?
Sure.
That's not even an Oscar?
That's how much I love the show. That's how much I love 24. Get out of here, please. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys?
How are you?
Hey, Stretch. What's happening?
Well, I hope you guys have a parachute, because I'm going to kick both of you guys' asses so high in the air, you're going to need a parachute to land. You know who I am?
Who are you?
This is O.J. Simpson. I'm going to be in Baltimore, Maryland tomorrow. I'm coming down to the station, okay. And I'm going to whip both of you guys' asses.
All right, O.J. Are you the guy that calls all the time as O.J.?
No, this is...
You know how addicted we all are to that now?
Sure.
What's your offer?
What is my offer?
He wants his Oscar.
Tom Hanks and Helen Mirren.
I am so addicted to that.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, I had a suggestion for you that I tried once for my windshield wipers. Used really cheap vodka because it doesn't freeze in the morning.
Yes.
So instead of your water freezing inside of it, if you use regular vodka,
very cheap.
It'll work. It works pretty good.
Well, I wish we had more time with
more Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, do you think Jerry Seinfeld would be a saving grace for the Oscars?
That's a good question, Mike. I only wish we had time.
No time to answer it, Don.
What was your question to answer?
I said
what?
Coming up, more Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus,
you'll never know. You wait all that time to finally get your chance, and then you get cut off by the orchestra.
So I saw Jerry Seinfeld. Maybe the only thing I truly laughed out loud at is he was doing some skit, some Jerry Seinfeld bit.
You didn't laugh out loud when Ellen did the vacuum cleaner bit?
No, but I did laugh when no, I didn't.
Sorry, I know.
But when Jerry Seinfeld was talking first about how it's his right to throw food on the floor.
Yes, that was funny.
In a theater, because right, you get ripped theater. Off on the prices. And then he said, now for best whatever it was, dramatic, shorter, best
documentary.
Here are the very boring nominees.
Depressing.
Right. Was that what he said? Depressing?
Yeah, or very downer. He made some reference to how depressing they are.
That's right.
Here are the depressing nominees.
But who sits through this? I mean, not to belabor the point, as we were doing before, but hear me out on this for a second. It's a show that's going to get a huge rating, and everybody in America watches it. Mm-hmm. You got about 8 categories that people give two rats' asses about. Why do you front-load the show with the stuff that nobody wants to see, that nobody except the people who won give two rats' asses about?
Well, thanks to modern technology, I now watch it with the TiVo, and the TiVo was, I was about maybe a half an hour to 45 minutes behind and loved it until I caught up.
Uh-huh.
So, and when I caught up at the end, it was excruciating, but
tedious.
I loved it. It was fantastic because you would sit there. And you could fast forward through anything that even if you had a slight amount of interest, you could watch. But even if they started getting boring, then you could just fast forward. I was zapping everybody. Well, I saw like maybe 8 minutes of the Oscars.
True. And here's what was wrong with it. Even as bad as it sucked, and it was really bad, there wasn't a lot of that at the podium. With the celebrities reading bad jokes to each other.
True.
There was not a lot of that. I didn't think there was nearly enough Ellen DeGeneres, really.
No.
I mean, she's very funny.
Yes.
But they gave her like a 2-minute bit here, a 2-minute bit there.
She had one bit where she was backstage talking to somebody and talking about Dame Judi Dench, right. Who's having knee surgery, and then she said on her eyes. And she did it so perfectly.
Yeah.
And she did it so perfectly, but it's, you know, you didn't get the laugh from the audience. I don't think it was mic'd the right way, but that was, I mean, she was, I just think she's a natural for television. But you're right, it was lacking in, And whoever made the decision not to front load it with some actor awards, which is all people want to see, I have no idea what they were going for.
It's
with
like
that.
You come up out front, it's like best in mixing sound.
We don't care.
Okay, then it was best in sound editing, then it was best costume.
Oh, did we mention also the movies were kind of crap this year, too?
Yeah.
Wow. The movies really were subpar compared to previous years. I mean, there are certain years where you'll have two or three movies that are up for Best Picture that everybody has seen, that everybody really loves, and it's kind of a horse race. But last night was just, I mean, just the sheer number of movies that people had seen. Have you seen Blood Diamond?
No, nobody saw that movie. No.
Nobody saw that. When the hell was that? Was that ever in theaters?
That's like Bobble. That's that like bags you made babble.
Babble, yeah.
Same thing.
Oh, no, the way you rewrote it, though. B-A-U-B-L-E.
Same thing.
Bobble.
They put the movie in the goddamn theater. Nobody goes to see it. But Hollywood thinks that it's what we really like.
That's right. And it sucked. I mean, that combination of that and nothing really, and the what happened to great spontaneous speeches? I mean, the speeches were either, we know we're going to win, we have this rehearsed, or there was nothing spontaneous at all. I guess Jennifer Hudson would be the only semi-spontaneous speech that I saw. And that's the whole reason I watch it. I want to see them say something emotional or funny or witty, and it doesn't seem to happen anymore. There seems to be too much pressure on them to do it.
Well, it just sucks on ice.
Yeah, it really does. It was a horrible show.
The first thing you got to do is cut it down to 3 hours.
Or smaller.
Really. But Buzz, you know they won't go beyond three, so you cut it down to three. Okay. And at least you say in each hour, you give us three good awards.
And you know how you do that? This is simple. This is a simple, simple
fix. Hold on. One other rule, please. Never again should Randy Newman be allowed to perform. He's just another guy.
Oscar loves Randy
Newman. I'm just sick of Randy Newman. Every goddamn song sounds like Toy Story. And Clint Eastwood. Hello, Clint. It's called English. It's on a card in front of your goddamn face. Don't stand up there with your big mitts going, when I first met this fella, he, I guess I should have brought my glasses.
And then he translated for the Italian guy that won the Lifetime Achievement Award whatever the award was. But you know how you eliminate the... You can give the awards that, because they're going to say, we have to. It's the Oscars, we have to do this. You can give out the award for editing, for sound, for all that. But you go bam, bam, bam. You go through it rapidly, rapidly. You don't show the nominees in great detail. They get up there and they say, through the magic of sound, it's like they're justifying their existence. Right. I think they're lucky as hell to be in that room and getting an award in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need to show me, because I don't care how sound editing works and what's done, and they spend way too much time on it.
And this is the hypocrisy of Hollywood, that any one of those stuffed shirts sitting there last night would have told you, well, really, this show is not about us, the actors. It's about the people behind the scenes who really make Hollywood happen. And this night is for them, and for them to have their moment.
Right.
Please, you're just sitting there smelling your own farts, waiting to find out if you won or lost, or waiting to go up and do your little bit, and then go to the party where you're going to have your picture taken.
You can get that done in 2 hours if you don't have all the crap that surrounds it. You don't need any of it.
The last thing these movie stars want to do is highlight the guy who's the best boy, or the key grip, or the guy who makes the sound effects. And how about where they showed, like, for best sound, where there would be a horse going through mud, and there's a guy with a tray of water and a little glass in front of him.
Right.
And he's pouring the glass in front of the microphone, like, and the audience is going, it's going to be magic.
That's the crap that you edit out. You just sit there and you nail them, and you don't even have to do lengthy presentations on all. You do a little clip from the movies for Best Picture.
I like the clip.
But they practically show you the whole movie. It's ridiculous.
Again, you know? More than one time I said, where's Billy Crystal? Yeah. Ouch!
Do you know how bad a show has to be to get you to say that? That's just horrible.
That is bad.
Bring him back.
It's not fair.
God damn, bring him back. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Howdy.
Hey, I agree with you guys about the Oscars, and I did TiVo it. Did you happen to see this weird moment where... like Clint Eastwood's wife was brushing crumbs or something out of his lap. It looked like he had actually drooled on himself.
She wasn't actually brushing crumbs out of his lap. She was helping.
No,
she was helping
so.
Clint to enjoy the show.
Helping him out.
Yeah.
Hey, and if Al Gore really wants to take care of the ozone layer,
yeah,
I got to think that he added a level last night with his farts. Mm. He is a big, fat load like
you're
we
saying
are.
He's got some problems with his greenhouse gases?
Yes, I'm saying.
He's rotund. Yeah.
Hard to respect a guy telling us to take care of the earth when he can't take care of himself.
Prior to the Oscars, I would like to get a pizza sent up to Tipper and I. We're going to be in the green room. Can we get a white pizza with extra garlic sauce on it, please? Thank you, and thank the Academy. I'm starving to death.
And Melissa Etheridge, what pressure did you feel to write a song? Oh, incredible pressure to write a song about the greenhouse. Please, shut up.
Grow your hair long again.
Incredible pressure.
Goddamn what?
Incredible pressure.
Hello, Don.
This is Melissa Etheridge
impersonation.
Hello, Don. My
fat head.
Hello. Who's a fat head? Her or him?
Rob.
Hello.
Oh, God.
Hi.
Go have another baby with David Crosby's monkey sperm.
<That's right.
laughs> Go have yourself another baboon.
Wait, when it comes to lesbian couples, I'm not a fan of the Melissa Etheridge couple, but I enjoy the Ellen couple because
sure.
They show that. Portia de Rossi. I'd love to just talk into coming to the other side.
And I like Melissa Etheridge. Don't get me wrong.
I know.
I like her. He says, honey, come on. We know you're a lesbian. Try femming it up a little bit for me. Just a little bit. It's 2007.
She had some glittery. She had a cute little blouse on that she was wearing.
When I saw her, she had her standard jean jacket on.
Oh, really?
I guess it was
she had
maybe
kind of a tux thing that she was wearing with sparkles, like
maybe
black
it,
sparkles.
Maybe it was an after-show thing I saw where she was taking it also very seriously that the great fat Al Gore asked her to write a song.
Mm-hmm.
And why would he select me? Gee, you're gay and you had cancer and you're a Grammy-winning singer. That's why, because you fit the PC stereotype.
Uh-huh.
The only thing would be better is if you were black and maybe missing an arm. Seriously.
That would be such an honor.
Jesus.
I'd like to get someone black and gay that's missing an arm, Tipper. Well, then get me Melissa Etheridge. She's available. And a pizza, please.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Tipper, I can't fit into this Prius. I can't get my ass in the seat of this Prius.
Hey, you're on the air. What's happening?
Did you guys like the chorus that did the sound effects to the film clip?
I think we had kind of touched on that. No, I can't speak for the other guys. I didn't like it. You cats like it?
I didn't care for it.
Didn't
need it.
No.
That's fake history.
A time waster.
It's another one of those dumb, here's what Hollywood's all about. Chugga, 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 chugga.
I know.
Woo, woo.
You hate that.
It's like 50 people making sound effects up on stage.
Their mouths.
And they don't do that.
Tipper, if you want me to take a shorter shower, I won't be able to wash the part underneath my stomach and above my private area.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Al, I'd love to help you, but I'm busy putting stickers on rap albums.
I don't need you to do that. I need you to call Melissa Etheridge or get me a black gay amputee.
Hello, you're on the air.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing great, thanks.
Listen, I'm in Ohio, and I got your stream happening here. I used to listen to you guys every single day, and I haven't heard you live for 2 years, and I'm so excited now that you guys are on the stream.
Wonderful.
Right on. Thanks. Thank you very much.
There's like a four-hour speed through my day.
Vision's great.
That's terrific. You. Appreciate it, my friend. Thank you very much. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, Donna Mike. How you doing today?
Doing very well.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I ordered a bowling shirt from the website, wore it to work on Friday, and got fired.
We knew that would happen.
Did you get fired because of the bowling shirt, or was it just a bad luck omen?
Well, the bowling shirt would have made more sense.
So you got fired on Friday. Why?
I was a recruiter at a staffing agency, and they started pulling crap out saying I wasn't filling
Cameron Diaz.
Tom, we could have heard that story.
Plus, a one-time only reunion.
What was that?
From Dream Girls. On the 79th Annual Academy Award.
He's already been walked off. The model already took him off the stage.
The big bosomy girl is taking him out.
The silhouette troop.
He started to go, you know, like they all started to go in the wrong direction.
Yes.
And the whole time I'm hoping there'd be a magic trick. Like, can I have a volunteer from the audience? How about Will Smith's son? Come get in this box. I'm going to pretend I'm going to cut you in half, kid.
You know, I think the biggest error as far as direction was Jodie Foster when she came out with a tribute to dead people. And she walked almost all the way over to the right side of the stage. And then you saw somebody like directing an aircraft carrier going,
yeah,
to stage left. Stage left, and she had to walk all the way back across.
Hey, Dr. Lecter, how good did she look, though?
She looked, you know.
Yeah. I thought Jodie Foster looked spectacular, good enough to eat last night.
Really?
Yeah. And I do mean that, fellas.
Really?
Yes.
You thought so, Doctor?
She had the short
Dr. Lecter?
Dr. Lecter, she had the short hair. She had the eyeshadow on. She had a shapely dress.
You know, she sits in the Portia de Rossi section. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Still, you think you could talk her over to the other side? Dr. Lecter?
So. I think so. I think I've got, well, in between my legs right now, I like to call it the negotiator.
Well, you can negotiate with Jodie Foster. Just let me do the negotiating with Jessica Biel.
She's already on our team, isn't she?
Yeah, that's okay, though. I just want to negotiate with her for anything.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don. Mike, how are you?
Howdy. What's happening?
Great. Listen, I am wanted to tell you, you might not get many of these phone calls, but I'm a lesbian. And
welcome.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I agree with you about...
Yeah, lesbians, yes.
What about the vagina?
Melissa Etheridge, you know, I always thought cancer patients recovering didn't have such a big butt as her. And did you see her walking up to the
wow,
stage?
Wow, that's a lesbian making a catty comment about a lesbian with cancer.
Can you believe it? I know.
Wow, that is pretty, that's pretty sensitive.
Like, even lesbians can be catty.
That's catty. That's cancer catty.
Well, I'm not that politically correct, but I mean, her choice of women... I mean, she could do so much better.
What do you think of Portia de Rossi, though?
Oh, honey.
Yeah. I think we're all agreeing.
Humana, humana, humana.
Now, in that relationship, who's the husband and who's the wife with Ellen and Portia?
You know what? I think Portia wears the pants.
Really?
I do. I do.
Really?
I really do.
Wow.
She picks up every now and then.
Would you do Ellen?
No. She's not very attractive at all.
I tell you why I would. Seriously. She's got some huge boobs.
I like her.
Ellen, well, her really... mouth turns down quite a bit.
Her mouth turns down.
Look that
I
way
love
upside.
Lesbians.
Doesn't look that way upside down.
Buzz.
Wow, we're all getting sexed up here.
Buzz. Jeez.
And might I just say, from one lesbian to you, I love the Don and Mike show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
We will. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What about the vagina?
What about it?
Gay.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi there. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, I want to say thank you to the call, the screener that put me on the air. And I want to thank my mom. I want to thank Don and Mike. I want to thank my cats. I want to thank my fish. I want to thank the team sport to call this show. I want to thank everyone that supported me for years.
You know, what you're doing is borderline funny.
Yeah.
It would be great if a celebrity actually did it, though, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be wonderful.
I wish we had more time to discuss.
Everybody wants to jog you into doing that. Everybody wants to do that. And I know you don't like that. You don't like it 100%.
No.
You know, I'm trying to keep it. I'd like to do it like all day, and I'm trying to keep it in my pants.
I wasn't even. Were you trying? I swear to Christ, were you giving me a sign?
No. I thought the caller was doing it like non-verbally.
Right. No, I didn't think he was. I thought.
Oh, he was trying to get you to play that music.
He was.
You didn't know that? My goldfish, and that's what he
was. I'm stupid.
I would like to thank the Academy and everybody.
All right, I get jokes. Okay, I'm stupid. I thought the guy was really making a point.
You're driving.
What, really?
Because I didn't even listen to what he said because I was waiting for you to play the music.
I was listening to what he said because what I was thinking is if one of these goddamn half-assed celebrities ever got up and said anything that was remotely from the heart and didn't get out a piece of paper where they thanked their accountant and the head of the studio.
It's really horrible that they do that. You know what? These are entertainers like anybody else. They're in the entertainment business. You could modify this. You could say, please, you know, call people after the show, personally thank them, you know, but it's not, you know what? That's what it's all about out there, man. It's about the, you know, the agents and the VIPs. Everybody's got to have the ego trip.
And I'm just going to use his name as an example. Do you think Harvey Weinstein is sitting at home going, count the number of times I mentioned tonight?
Maybe. I think that the younger, less experienced actors and actresses feel as though they've got to cover their ass and mention all the time. That's
Is that kind of what you wanted?
That's I love it. I do love that. I love that more than anything. I don't know whether I like that or
Kevin Diaz.
I can't say anything.
Helen Mirren. Plus,
okay. Merrill Howard Kalin.
Oh no.
That's something I noticed over the weekend. On Quiznos, yes. On their ads, okay. It says, and then when it's written, there are not five mms. Check it out, dude.
They're cheating us.
Check it out.
Isn't it proper to do the
You can have
three times.
You can have two. But there's but good is
Campbell's
some type of soup.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what Campbell's soups are. Good.
It's also what I say when I'm finished.
With a nice BM?
Yeah. And anything. Anything like
or
that.
Or sex.
Yeah.
Right.
Good.
Or even better when it's the two combined.
That's now we're talking.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Perfect.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. I looked at the new updated website. It looks beautiful. And nice. The picture of Mike and Carla there. First of all, Carla's a beautiful girl. And when you guys are sitting next to each other, you look like the number 10.
Okay, there's the first.
That's one. The first fat joke anybody's made at my expense in a long time that actually made me laugh.
Is that on our website? That'll be good.
Yeah,
real fast.
Number 10. You know, I'm wearing the pumpkin. You know, the pumpkin pullover that I wear. You know, the one I wear.
Oh, yeah. That one.
The one that makes me seriously look like the Great Pumpkin. And I wore it again to the game.
Hey,
like the number 10.
Johnny Gorman.
Hey, John, where's the thing on our website?
Today's daily log.
Daily log. All right, hold on. Let me check it out, Mike.
Johnny Gorman.
Okay.
There it is.
Here is Mike and Carla at the Washington Capitals game yesterday. All right.
Those are good pictures.
The number 10.
The first one, you're flying with your nose.
Right.
Got a beverage in your hand.
Beer.
Second one, now you're stroking your chin.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying something. You look like you're not listening, friend.
Yeah, that's true. I was watching the game in the second.
Third picture. There she's pointing at the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And your mouth is open. Wow.
In amazement. And the last one is when, like the puppeteers, like the gymnasts last night, we made the number 10. It's fantastic. Right after that, when the camera was off us, we rolled down the aisle and we formed a perfect handgun from the movie The Departed.
You want to get that right out to the fans.
That's the number 10.
Well, I bet you got a nice mention during the Capitals game. Why else would you be on TV?
I have no idea. Nobody's called in. I mean, I hope that doesn't speak to their ratings for the game yesterday.
What, you mean hockey's not hot?
You think?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
First off, as a member of the black community, I like to thank God for the opportunity for Forrest Whitaker and Jennifer Hudson win the Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And? Oh no! See, you have to have a long speech.
Yeah. You got to go longer than that.
You have to be cut off. You that's the whole idea.
You got to do better, dude. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike radio guys, it's your Sacramento facility. How are you?
Howdy.
Hey, the most important part of the Oscars last night, guys, you forgot about it.
What did we forget about?
You forgot about the behind the screen making all those funny things.
I think we actually mentioned the people behind the screen making
it. Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren, plus a one-time-only reunion performance from Dreamgirls.
What?
Hold it, we need to punish. Because that was a violation.
All right.
That was a real one.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
And I know that this is a tricky one because we are talking about the Oscars and taking phone calls, but right. Mike is absolutely right. We already did discuss that.
Rob, did you not reference it right at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, and I followed up with a nice Cirque du Soleil comment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yes, already been mentioned.
In fact, all three of us mentioned it separately.
Hello, bad listener says what?
Hello.
Yes, it's you. Are you? Is this the same guy?
Same guy.
Yeah. All right, were you talking about the people behind the screen?
I was.
So were we about
did
an hour ago.
Did you hear what we just said now?
Oh, no, because we're on delay out here in California.
No, but you weren't listening to the phone.
Why weren't you listening to the phone?
Why do you call the show and listen to the radio and not the telephone?
Because I'm dumb.
I'm a guy.
You know, that doesn't cut it anymore.
And no, it really doesn't.
And that's bad news for all guys, because all guys aren't stupid like you.
I don't think he's telling the truth anyway.
I'm proud to be stupid. Thank you.
So he's either really dumb or lying or just a bad listener all around.
All the above.
But, you know, what we were saying, all three of us referenced those people behind the screen.
We already had it on, friend.
We all have.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll go stand in my corner and I'll try again later.
No, don't try again.
Never again.
Please listen to this tape. I swear to God, this tape is just for retards like you. Listen.
When you see news breaking.
Listen, when you see news breaking.
Don't wait call. 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
Johnny Don!
I think we had two violations in that call. Did he not say he was calling from the Sacramento facility?
He did. Do you like work at the Sacramento facility?
No.
He did say that, though, Jim. You're absolutely right. He did say that.
The Sacramento contingency.
So just like everyone else in Northern California, he's guilty of misusing the English language.
I am.
Not from calling from right. Shut up!
I'm so sorry.
Shut up.
I will go stand in my corner. I will try again later.
No. Never again.
No.
Yeah, okay. We'll never call again.
Go try and figure out why you don't find women appealing.
Okay, I will do that.
That's a good subtle call there. That's a good subtle call, Mr. Spiewak with the tip in. What are you wearing?
It's a Wang party. There's a lot of Wang here.
All right. Hey, listen, call your, should you be calling your little animal?
Which one?
Little animal? Your wolf.
Oh.
I'd like you to call Wolf every once in a while on the show.
Oh, Wolf!
Anything hurting today, Rob? Anything numb or cold?
My feelings. And there is no treatment for that.
You should call him like he's a lost animal.
Wolf!
There he is.
Whoa.
Little boy crying wolf. Shall we try again?
Sure.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good luck.
Hey, Don and Mike, how y'all doing?
Howdy.
Good. Buzz and Rob, I'm glad you're back. Listen, I went to Atlantic City this past Saturday and I got...
Wait a minute, hold on. Why Buzz?
Oh, hello, Buzz.
Buzz did not have a pinched nerve.
No, I was saying hello to Buzz and then Rob, I'm glad he's okay.
I see.
Oh,
well, you
got
jumped us together.
You know, I went to Atlantic City on Saturday and I got a paper on the way out. And in the paper, they had Oscar Bingo. They had like a bingo scorecard.
Yeah.
And different things that would happen during the show. You mark it down like somebody makes a political statement. You get to mark it down. Somebody thinks a guy. You get to mark it down.
More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time-only reunion performance from Dream Girls on the 79th Annual Academy Awards.
It's the best like that when a guy just keeps going.
That's what we like.
But I never got...
You never got what?
Wine and fell asleep on the couch before the show even came. So.
What?
I said I never got to play the game because I had...
More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time-only reunion performance from Dreamgirls.
Oh, God.
Welcome back. Wouldn't it be great if we had that guy in the studio every day? That big guy.
Yeah,
yeah. From the Geico commercial.
I like him. Do we have the Ryan Seacrest tapes?
We do.
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest was on the red carpet last night for... Exclamation point.
I mean, it's a little embarrassing. I'm standing in front of Jim and Hunter, and you're asking about his underwear. It doesn't make me feel comfortable.
You know what? Jay and I are up here with our blackberries, and we're getting all this scoop from publicists and people who are telling us what people are wearing.
No, I understand. Darling, sweetheart, and Jay, I get the scoop part, but I'm standing next to the guy, and you're asking him, and then I have to ask him about his panties. It's just not right.
He wasn't wearing panties, but you were really diplomatic, Ryan. I thought you handled it well.
What are you wearing, Ryan, by the way, under all that mess?
Oh,
what are you wearing, Ryan?
Ryan,
can you see?
Fruit of the Loom.
It's Calvin.
They're
Calvin.
Whoa!
Yeah, he's not gay. He's not gay.
I think he looks great.
At least he's not Joan Rivers.
Yeah,
that isn't important. Janet was going between the Ryan Seacrest show and the Joan Rivers show.
I didn't get to look at Joan. How was she looking last evening?
Looked like somebody had just poured concrete and a bunch of kids had run through it and tried to write their names. Really, that's what her chest looked like. Big and saggy and like you know how on a stripper they get those indentations, the stretch marks?
Yeah.
She's got that. Those are like old lady stretch marks
everywhere. She was wearing something that low cut where you could see that.
And she was trying to make jokes that no one was laughing at The one that I heard, Janet said, stay over here for a second. She's bombing like crazy. Mm-hmm. I said, God, I hate Joan Rivers. She said, give it 2 minutes. Yeah. She'll say a joke that's no funny, and what's best is not funny, and what's best is no one's laughing.
Right.
So she said, all right, we're waiting for Philip Seymour Hoffman to come by. Of course, Anna Nicole Smith is dead. Dead at 39. Double D. And, you know, the Cricket City.
You know what I was laughing at when you were starting that, Tom?
What's that?
You started, it was really quick. You were saying, waiting for Michael Philip Seymour. Did you almost say Michael Hoffman?
I almost did.
I wanted to make sure you did.
Yeah. I almost did.
Hi, this is Michael Hoffman.
This is Michael Hoffman.
I'm on the red carpet. What are you wearing?
Who are you wearing?
It's a Wang party. There's a lot of Wang here.
Thank you.
All right, this is a commercial set. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I was with a friend of ours, a mutual, Simon Cowell, not too long ago, and Simon has sent a message for you. I'm going to play it. Let's make sure we have this speaker on so she can hear it. I'm going to play a message from our friend Simon Cowell, who knows that you're probably going to be up there accepting an Oscar. Listen to...
I like rape.
Oh, no. Don and
Mike. Simon. What are you doing?
Shut up.
Stand by for spontaneous mediocrity with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
A lot of tape on Ryan Seacrest last night. We got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different cuts.
There's never enough tape of him.
Where it's the same one every time. It says, for instance, Ryan with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, my God.
Hold on.
Wait, before you go on.
Perfect.
Did you say Ryan and Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes.
Together? Let me just enjoy that for a second.
Then you have Ryan with Steve Carell. Then you have Ryan with Scarlett Johansson. Then you have Ryan with Nicole Kidman. And the note written in every one of them is, Leo sounds bored. Steve sounds bored. Nicole sounds bored.
Rightly so.
They all sound bored with Ryan Seacrest.
Nominated for lead actor, it is Leonardo DiCaprio, Blood Diamond, The Departed, and of course, Martin Scorsese and Leo, the team. Should be a big night for both of you guys, wouldn't you say?
We'll see, man. We'll see. That's the big mystery of this show. No one actually knows what's really going to go down, so we're all excited, man. We really are.
Who have you brought? Who have you come with?
My mom, but she's...
Where's mom?
Mom, she's strolling around here. Not really into the whole press thing.
I was going to say, does she get excited about coming to these things, or she's been so many times where she's used to it by now?
She loves it, man. She loves this whole party. She loves the night. She loves being here.
I'm bored listening to it.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah.
Man, he says man a lot.
He does.
But he's a lot like some of his characters. He sounds like, you know, strolling. Mom strolling around, you know, dropping the consonants.
That's Lenny.
Yeah, there I am.
He doesn't sound like that in Gilbert Grape.
I kept trying to figure out last night, too. In The Departed, what was his part again? Was he the cop?
No,
Damon was the cop, right?
No.
And at the end, Marky Mark kills the guy.
No, he was the singer who who the Supremes came up and back.
You're goofing, man. You don't remember. Do you really?
He was the wife of
He was not
Brad
a wife,
Pitt.
He's a man.
More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren.
Okay. He's a man, baby.
On our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com, I was looking at the viral videos.
Yes.
And our listeners have a lot of stuff. There are a few Oscar items that are posted on our website. The Will Ferrell, Jack Black thing. Moderately funny.
Moderately. That's a very good description of it.
Then we've got Tyra Banks. All the stuff that our listeners have posted now. Tyra Banks copping a feel on Catherine McPhee.
Mm-hmm.
Says, hey, Mike, he's another hockey fight, the great hockey fight with the Buffalo Sabres from last week.
Oh, incredible hockey fight.
Craig Ferguson, a video of a robot hitting baseballs, a clip of Bob Barker, Jack Bauer, 24-hour pizza man, Star Wars theme on a banjo. What do you get when you cross ham radio with Taco Bell?
Huh.
These are, goddamn, we got a lot of these things on our website.
Yeah, is that a rat joke?
Let me click on that one for a second. Does a cat land on its feet in zero gravity?
Doesn't land.
Let me just click on that one real fast. La, la, la. We report, you decide. All right. That's someone who's... Okay. Boy, goddamn. I got such big fingers.
You know what that means. I got a hard time picking my nose.
And we got that hockey fight up there?
Yeah, all of the, there's the Buffalo Sabres hockey fight, and that has a link to some of the greatest recent hockey fights.
The Buffalo one was, you always know it's good when the goalies start going at it. That's when you know it's great.
Well, the computer is moving too slowly. But you guys are doing a great job. Pull the videos up there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Howdy.
I was just going to add some information on Leo's role in The Departed.
All right, go ahead.
He played, I think his name was Billy Conway.
Damn that music.
Who did he play?
Who's the guy who got kicked out of the force and they put him in Nicholson's gang?
Coming up,
Mark
Ellis, Cameron Diaz.
You got it in.
Gang,
still going though.
From Dream Girls on the 79th.
You know, it almost helps it when you can barely hear the people still talking in the background.
This time, it's for real.
Okay, all right. Get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah. Am I the only one that noticed how effed up Philip Seymour Hoffman looked last night?
No, you're not. And you know what? Did you notice the first thing? It was his hair.
Yeah, he was cutting his lanky, matted, oily hair.
His oily, horrible hair that looked like he'd just gotten out of bed. And then when he was speaking, it was still a little bit wobbly. Of course, he's presenting for... you know, the best actress, right? Isn't it best actor that presents for best actor?
I don't know. I don't know what that
best actress presents for best actress. And he came out there, and it was not only did he have the stringy blonde hair, but he just looked like he was wasted, completely and totally wasted. I don't know. Sometimes they try to get that look, though.
I got to tell you something that I saw yesterday that is not related to the Oscars. I told Mike about this before the show. Right. I think I may have mentioned that I got this from DirecTV. It's a way... To get more money from you with pay-per-view on NASCAR.
You were selling me on it, though.
And at first glance, you'd go, why would you pay money to get a race that's on TV in beautiful high def on Fox?
Right.
Well, like yesterday with the race they had yesterday out in California, if you buy this DirecTV pay-per-view thing, you get five different drivers. And for the race, those drivers are constantly on your screen. We were in the...
You said only five?
Five drivers.
Okay, five.
But, like, if a guy gets knocked out of the race, they put another guy in his spot.
So they've got cameras in all these cars.
Yes. We were on the Dale Jr. channel until he got knocked out of the race. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is it called again?
I don't know. It's DirecTV something something pass.
You had it before.
It's like Speed Pass or something
Speed
like
pass.
That. You can get it with your remote. Just go to the pay-per-view part.
Mm-hmm.
What is fantastic about this is... During the race, there are three boxes on your screen.
Okay.
The first box is whatever's happening on the Fox network. So you get to see the regular TV coverage. The second box is just of your guy's car going around the track or going into the pits. And the third box is just your driver. Now, what I found...
Like a headshot of him?
Or fascinating. Yeah, him inside, inside the car driving.
Right.
The helmet, the gloves, and everything.
Right.
The access, I think, is freaking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
After Dale Jr. got knocked out, they switched the drivers around. And I think maybe it was Matt Kenseth. I'm not sure. The guy in the black car.
He was the winner yesterday, right?
Okay. He's leading the race. There are six laps left, and they have frozen the field because there was that bad wreck where the car got all torn up.
Right.
And when you turned on the screen, you actually saw all of the NASCAR cars. It looked like someone had frozen a picture or stopped time because cars were, like, going at up angles on the track and down angles.
Where they tell them to shut it down. They have to stop everybody on the
right.
track.
They completely stopped the race to clean up this mess from the wreck.
Right.
There are six laps left, and I'm watching the Matt Kenseth channel. They say to him, oh, thank you, Johnny. Hot pass is what
Hot
it
pass.
Is.
Ah, okay.
Hot pass. They say, we're going to try to talk to him now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing him in his car. While in one box, you're seeing the car just parked on the racetrack.
Right.
Then in the other box, you see this guy just sitting in the car,
mm-hmm.
looking around. And all of a sudden they go, hey, Matt, do you want to talk to people from DirecTV? And he says, sure.
Wow.
Then they go, hey, Matt, it's Johnny from DirecTV. How you doing out there? And he says, well, everything's going okay. I hope the guys behind me didn't get too much of a wreck. And I turned to Janet and I said, this is why this is so cool. This guy seriously is in the middle, take it back, not in the middle, at the very end of a 500-mile race.
And he's leading.
He's the guy driving the lead race car.
Winning car.
And when there's a break in the action.
He's just chatting with people.
He's chatting with this dude.
Answering questions. It's unprecedented. It really is.
Interviewed.
It's using the medium the right way, too, and it's really what you're going to see more of. I think other sports might try to do a little bit more of that. You know, this is, don't you think this is taken to the extreme of when you'll see guys mic'd on the sideline? I mean, they did it years ago, but this is really going 20 steps further with it.
This was, I can't explain to you, and I couldn't really tell Janet why I thought it was so groundbreaking. Just the thought that normally during a football game, if you see a guy on the sidelines, all you get are those one-word cliche answers. You would never see a football player really during a game,
right,
like during a timeout, sitting on the sideline and saying, how you doing, Peyton? Well, I'm doing okay. They're throwing this defense, and I'm doing... The guy's chatting.
Unless they have to. You know, really, someday.
Yeah, but
someday they might have access like that if they have to do
it. They may make them, but I'm telling you, I have never seen anything like this.
It's different because they catch them at a time when they don't need, you know, to be concentrating. I would imagine that type of access where they really talk to the guy, you're not going to get on the final lap where they say, hey, let's go talk to him right now, but you'd be able to look at the guy.
No, and maybe you wouldn't, but this was about as close as you're going to get.
Do you hear the uncut conversations between the pit crew and the driver?
Yes, you do, and you get a lot of that low, low, high, low, behind you, up, low, down, up, low. You see how the spotter calls it
out. That's the camera in the front of the car. Where you see the front, right? You see it's inside of the car.
So you see the inside of the car. You see another view, which is following the car around the racetrack.
Can you go to a bigger screen version of all of these little, or is it just one channel that it's on?
It's like 24.
Okay.
It's made like 24 where there are the three boxes, but there are five different channels with five different drivers. So in essence, there's like 15 boxes.
And it gets you into the race more.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I said to Janet, I don't know of any other sport where you would get a competitor leading a race, leading an important race with six laps left, and it's not like the guy is doing an interview, although he is.
Right.
He's sitting in his car.
He probably doesn't want to say, not right now.
Right. No, and I was fully expecting that he would say, not now. Instead, it was...
What if they showed him having a cigarette? Wouldn't that be something?
They did show one guy talking on his cell phone.
Wow. In the car?
Before the race.
But inside the car?
Inside his car, talking on the cell phone.
Weird. It's still weird.
Yeah, I'll be home about 8 o'clock. Y'all make me that biscuits and gravy I like so bad.
What great access that was. Yeah. I was blown away by that. If it was me, if I'm driving a car 200 miles
an hour. Who's your driver? I forgot. Who's your driver?
Tony Stewart.
Stick with the winner, win with the sticker.
Tony was a bad boy yesterday, Mike.
God, what did he do in the...
Bad boy. Race. Got in a wreck.
Oh, really? Did he cause it?
Well, I think he causes all of it. Right?
I do, too.
But they, you know what they like saying about Tony? Car got loose on him.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
That means it skids.
That means he bumped into some guy who wouldn't get out of his way.
Got coming in turn two, and it got kind of loose on me, got away from me, and I just I took my foot off the gas, and it was click, click, click.
The thing I love about Tony Stewart is he's just driving. You know, there's like still 8,000 cars in this race, and there's one guy who's in front of him. And Tony Stewart puts his hand out the car like, hey, get out of the way. And the announcer says, that's Tony. You know, when Tony's racing, if he's got the fast car, he wants you to get out of the way. Like, who races like that?
Tony Stewart always looks like he needs a bit of a shower, too.
If you happen to be in front of the guy who's got the faster car, why would you possibly say, okay, dude, I'm going to move out of the way and let you pass me now?
No,
I mean, I know it's sportsmanship, and I know that some NASCAR drivers actually do that, so please don't call it and say that now. Mm-hmm. I just found it amazing that that they're like, Tony's really mad that the number 48 car wouldn't move out of the way.
Right.
Well, hell, I wouldn't move out of the way either.
No, you don't move out of the way. You're a race car.
Yeah.
And aren't you supposed to stay in front of the guy?
I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the rule?
What
I don't understand also is when I was watching the Daytona 500, you had they were talking a lot about cars getting in front of other cars so they can get a... Is it a push?
A draft?
You get a draft when you're in back of a car.
Right.
But they were talking about getting speed by getting in front of a car.
to move him along, and I'm not sure what the principle of that
does
is.
Does that have to do with clean air?
I ain't sure what we're talking about.
And the other thing that I'll just tell you about NASCAR was when they had the guy who was in a bad wreck in the Domino's car.
Oh.
This was fantastic. I mean, the guy's okay, of course, but they show the wreck.
Not badly, hopefully.
But the guy went like just boom into the wall, front on, and then this is riveting TV. We're watching this live on this NASCAR hot pass thing because the guy is just sitting in his car
waiting,
and the car catches on fire, and they start saying, "David, David, can you hear me? David, buddy, you got to get out of there. The car's on fire. David, hello, David." And really, you're watching this going, Jesus Christ.
Did he get out?
Yeah, he got out.
Stunned.
I turned to Janet and I said, I swear to God, my pants are wet. On one hand, you've got...
Wow, it did motivate you.
You got the one driver. Oh, no, no, it wasn't like that, Mike.
Oh, all right. Okay.
It was a...
I was nervous wet?
I wet my pants.
Not away from you.
I went number one.
Not excited wet.
But it was... Well, it was kind of an excited wet.
Yeah, well, it can work that way. Scared is excited is a form of excitement.
You know, and if you think about it, now totally changing topics, as I often want to do... In some weird way, going number one is about as close as you'll ever get to going number three.
I think the other thing is.
You think number two is? Of course you do.
Well, I'm telling the truth.
Of course you do.
In terms of satisfaction. The satisfaction factor is closer with that than it is. And
is it really?
Mr. Spicoli, we're on dangerous ground here, but we can talk around it.
I know what you're saying, because I understand.
Much, much more satisfying.
I understand where the prostate is located.
It's also just the actual... experience of doing that, you know, if you really have to,
the relief
can be just, you know, the closest thing
but
to.
I would disagree, and I'm not going down our regular butt or no butt discussion. Mm-hmm. Don't you think if you really like have just been waiting to go and go, and you stand in front of the urinal when you're really letting it go, it's almost that same thing like you couldn't turn it off, just like in the middle of number three, you can't.
No,
turn
it's
it
not
off.
The same thing because you're. You have to wait. If you really, really have to go bad, you have to wait. And then finally...
Are you talking about one or two?
One.
Okay, one.
And with two, you have to wait too, but it's more of a, oh my God.
You don't think it can be that fulfilling with one?
It's a slower process.
Yeah.
Not as intense. Right there. Uh-huh. There it is. You know what I mean? It's more like now you're waiting for, 20 minutes.
Right. You think
and the satisfaction... Let me explain the biggest difference is... The satisfaction you get comes with a much longer period of time. It takes a long time to experience that.
Right.
With two.
No, with one. This is not difficult. This is easy. One. Before you're completely satisfied, if you have to go really bad, it takes a long time to finish that.
Right.
Usually because you have a full bladder.
So the pleasure is, by my way of thinking... gets drawn out because you're standing there going, God, if only this was like...
Well, really, the pleasure is only at the beginning. And then it's, and then you feel that at the end of things. Whereas the other thing, the other two things you're talking about, the release is much more of a all at once type of thing.
Hold on, but how does that have to do with the number two, though?
It's all at once, usually. Well, sometimes that can take a long time, too. But usually with that, the real satisfaction comes with the first volley. I'm really trying to
dance around. Proud of that.
Am I making sense?
You're doing very good.
It's just that's why I think the two are more similar and they're more related.
I think going number one is more sexually stimulating than
some people might agree with you. And
number
two, there's internet evidence to prove that.
and there's internet evidence to prove your point.
Oh, you bet there is. Yeah, we know exactly where it is too.
Don't we?
So I think you could, but then again, we've never agreed on that particular subject. Now the question is, what NASCAR driver would agree with us?
Hello, Don and Mike. Show.
Hey, Don. And Mike. Hey, Don.
I want to tell you something.
It's also scary about the guy at the Domino's car. He got the wind knocked out of him when they were telling him the car was on fire. He, kind of passed out for a second there. And so he had, a little delayed reaction. It's
Do you really talk like this?
Huh?
Is this the way you talk all the time?
Yes.
Okay.
There's. Right.
Thank you.
I'm not going to go... Why I talk like this? I'm not.
Oh no, that's okay. Yeah. I was just curious.
I'm curious. Why do you talk like this?
I got a hormone deficiency. I had cancer for 6 years and.
Well, I had no idea. Tell us about it.
What type of cancer did you have?
I had leukemia.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were saying.
Coming up, more Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time-only reunion performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th Annual Academy Award.
La la.
Just asked him why he talked that way. Then he started to go into his whole speech.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
You guys were talking about NASCAR and asking, you know, why a car in front would be be in front for the draft.
Yeah, how does that work?
Well, at Daytona, I think Daytona's about the only track that you can really do, but it's called bump and draft. Yeah, they can get behind, the car behind can bump the car.
Excuse me. It's a funny joke, except when you want to hear the answer.
I really wanted to hear the
answer. Except when you want to hear the
answer. I'm sorry. Well, you brought up NASCAR. I just wanted to hear what
it was.
All
right, go ahead.
I was really curious. She's gone.
No, she's still there. I didn't hang up on her.
He's going to do it again.
So the car in back.
Not me.
Car in back. Are you listening or what?
Yes.
The car in back can bump the car in front, and because of that, I guess the stricter plate race or the configuration of the track, it can actually push the car faster, the same as if they would be behind.
More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time-only reunion performance from...
All right, that's just cruel. I'm sorry.
That is the most irritating thing. I just want to hear you.
Hello?
Are you just doing this to me because I'm from Sacramento or what?
Oh, Sacramento.
No, it's just a joke, honey. Trying to ask you.
All right, you guys have a good one.
All right, see you later.
Take care of you.
Bye-bye.
Nice chatting with you.
Fat cow.
Is she still there?
No, she's gone. Are you there, honey?
She's gone.
Honey?
Honey? Michael.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. All right, we got a break. When we come back, here's 10 minutes of our lives that we'll never get back.
Okay.
American Idol drinking game makes show more interesting. My God, how long do you think this tool is going to last on the air with us?
I think he might be hearing some Oscar music. I see the future.
Your prediction.
I see the future.
Your goal as the listener in the next segment will be to drink whenever we play the Oscar music while we're talking to the guy with the drinking game about American Idol.
Amen.
Okay. All right, stop it. Please be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's a good spot here. We've got good escape routes. Two freeways.
Oh, I love this. This movie, Heat. We finally have tapes from it. When this movie come out? 1925?
Al Pacino.
Great movie.
It's a good spot here. We've got good escape routes. Two freeways within a quarter of a mile. Traffic video camera, probably disabled. Check it anyway.
You recognize the M.O.?
M.O. is that they're good. Once it escalated into a murder 1B for all of them after they killed the first two guards, they didn't hesitate. Pop guard number 3, because what difference does it make? Why leave a living witness? Drop of a hat, these guys will rock and roll. The shape charge. The shape charge indicates that they are technically proficient. Proficient enough to go in on a prowl, so let's start looking for recent Highline burglaries that have mystified us. Hang in with forensics. From the bomb squad, I want the explosive. If we're lucky, it's exotic. We can trace the sale.
Maybe. I'm damn cool.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hi, everybody.
It's so crowded today.
How crowded was it?
Oh, glad you asked. It was so crowded, I felt like I was in line for Leah Remini's vagina. Which is funny, of course, because she doesn't have one.
What about the vagina? Wow.
That's Stevie. Was that from Family Guy?
On what? Family Guy Online.
Wow.
Living in a scratch and dent world. Don and Mike.
It is that tape you played from Heat.
Yes.
Is that when they're at the crime scene of where they blew up an armored car?
Yeah.
Yeah, right in the very beginning.
I'm pretty good.
The opening of Heat is maybe the greatest half hour, if you like action films.
Right.
God damn, when they get those hockey masks on and they go crazy and they
start... And De Niro's the bad guy.
Killing the guard, yes. Al Pacino is the cop.
He's the cop.
De Niro's the bad guy.
Right.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Yes?
American Idol. Have you heard of that show?
I'm not really familiar with it. Bring me up to speed.
Okay.
It's a show about, I don't know a lot about it either.
Okay.
But we have someone on the phone who not only knows about the show, but...
I heard it's popular.
They have a drinking game. About the show. We enjoy that. So let's now talk to Monica Sotomayor. Monica?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi there. You like a TV show called American Idol.
I do enjoy American Idol, but I enjoy drinking more, so...
Oh, that's a good girl.
What's the show?
Okay, the show is, it's been going on for 6 years. It's three judges that get to check out kids that want to become stars, like music stars.
So and this, it's a popular show?
It's very popular.
Oh, dear.
You're kidding.
It's very popular. I'm not kidding.
Popular with more than just kids?
Yes, it's popular with everyone.
Really?
Yes.
Fascinating.
You are kidding me.
I'm not, with maybe the whole country.
Is it more popular than Prison Break?
I'm going to go ahead and go with yes.
What about, is it more popular than How I Met Your Mother?
That's tough, but yeah, I think so.
Is it more popular than Nanny 911?
Those nannies are pretty crazy. Yeah, I think so.
It's fascinating.
See, the thing is, we hear about this show. I mean, before we talk about your drinking game, we hear about the show sometimes, American Idol.
Right.
And but we've all kind of, because we get calls on it, we just have never, we all have different things that go on the nights that it's on, and, we have various meetings that we have to go to.
I have my dance class, and I know that Mike does his volunteer work.
At the nursing home.
Right.
So, if you could just tell us, because we do get calls about it, we sound stupid so often.
We've heard it might be, I'm not sure whether it is, but it might be wildly popular.
It really is.
Define wildly popular.
American Idol.
Yeah, well, define it. How popular is it?
I mean, everybody and their mom watches it.
We don't.
Well, maybe your mom does. I don't know.
Are we are we out of the loop?
Maybe a little bit. If you don't watch it, you should probably start watching it.
Ted, do they give like those DVD sets of it? Do they have that from?
That I couldn't tell you. I don't think they have a DVD set yet. But
let me guess. Do they have an immunity challenge?
There's no immunity.
What island do they broadcast from?
Fiji, I believe.
Okay.
At what point did they say you're fired?
Probably about halfway through.
So it's wildly popular, is what you say.
Yes, it is.
But you like drinking better than the show.
Right.
That's good. I do, too.
All right, can you tell me this? When Emmett Smith was on the show, and he was the winner last year, right? Emmett Smith was the winner.
That was Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, that's it. That's right. Right, right. No, that was the dancing show that we didn't watch.
Right.
Is it an animated show?
No, it's not. It's actually live with people.
But this is this where it's a variation on the old children's game? Because I know that they're it's a Simon Says thing, because that's all people talk about is Simon Says.
Right.
No, not quite.
Are you drunk right now?
Honey, you're going to have to help us out here. We're doing the very best we can.
Okay. Well, it's you know, the live people, Simon Cowell.
When do you drink?
Tuesday nights.
Why do you drink on Tuesday nights? Why wouldn't you drink tonight?
Because tonight American Idol isn't on.
Why would you limit it tonight?
Well,
why not today?
You gotta. I guess you could do it today. I guess you could do like the American Idol Eve.
What do you drink? What can you drink?
During the game, you want to drink with probably just beer. Otherwise, it's going to get kind of crazy.
During what game?
The American Idol drinking game.
Is that a box game or what?
No, it's just a game you play with your friends.
How long have you been watching this show? We know some people that watch it. How long have you been watching it?
A while. I think, well, I watched most of the seasons all the way through. But
it's the longest running game show, right, on daytime television?
Right. It's the longest. Not quite.
No, I mean, but it's run for a long time.
It's run for 6 years.
Who's going to replace Bob Barker when he retires?
Simon Cowell.
So Simon Cowell's going to be the new host of... But no, hold on a second. See, I know the difference, honey. That's The Price is Right.
And that's a very popular show. And I would call that, I've seen that, and people jump up and down. That would be wildly popular, in my estimation. You know, we've had a theory for years that Bob Barker might have a pop or two before he goes on the air.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Here's the thing, and who am I to tell you, but I think I know a little bit about media. And I think if you're going to have a show like a drinking show based on a TV show, it's got to be a TV show that everybody watches.
You're right.
I mean, you don't hear a drinking game about Veronica Mars.
That's such a popular show.
Do you make your own beer?
I guess you can if you're a beer brewer.
We had an engineer that we worked with for many years that made his own beer. His name was Nick Rosenoff.
I bet Nick would be good at the game.
I doubt it.
I hear Paula Abdul is a terrorist.
I'm not sure on that one.
Does she wear like the traditional garb? What do they call those, burkas? Does she keep her head covered during the show?
I don't think so. She does have a mean weave on, but that's about it.
Now, the host of this show, American Idol, Rick Dees, he's been in radio for a long time, and he's an older guy, right? He's like our age, like 50, right? Rick Dees, the host?
Or Ryan Seacrest, who's probably like 30.
What about I know we've got the materials in front of us. Who's the member of the Jackson 5 that is on the show?
That's Randy Jackson, Mike. That's
Randy Jackson.
Michael's brother, Randy.
He had solo albums as well, did he not?
Big, huge artist he was.
Okay. So you got those four people that are judges.
So when if you are to watch this show, and again, I'm sorry, we don't watch it, but when you watch it, when do you drink?
Good question.
Okay. Well, there's many times that you drink throughout the show when the judges...
What was that? Ma'am?
Monica?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you were talking about drinking.
Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time-only reunion performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th Annual Academy Awards.
Playing you out there for a second. Do you sing, my lady?
W-J-K-S.
I think we've worn her out.
I'm here.
Hey, Monica?
Yeah.
Yes, so when do you drink?
Okay, when Randy Jackson says a performance is pitchy, you drink. When Paula Abdul stands up, you drink. When she claps, you drink.
Why don't you just drink when you turn the television on, then?
You could just drink every day. It doesn't really matter, actually.
What is your favorite beer?
It doesn't matter. Sam Adams or something like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Do you drink hard liquor?
If you want to be out by the first 5 minutes.
Are you married?
No.
Why is that?
Okay, I'm done. I'm going to go now, okay?
You're done with what?
With what?
With the interview. I've got to go do work. I'm a journalist, so I got to go.
Oh.
Yeah, you're a journalist.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Having said that, you are with a capital C.
So she got tired.
Can I give me a C?
Kind of uptight.
Can I give me a C?
For a drinker. Well, we led her all the way up to the big part, and then, of course, it was the music after that.
That's what she started.
That's what pushed her over the edge.
Yeah, not our idiotic questions about what is this American Idol show.
I thought that, you know, it takes a great deal of skill to craft that many in a row, in my humble opinion.
We did our best, didn't
she
we?
She could have shown some appreciation for crafting those idiotic
shows. Having said that, you are with a capital C.
You know, when I heard her over the phone, she had the phone covered, and she was telling someone what radio station she was on.
I heard her say...
Yeah, that's when we knew we were in trouble.
WJFK. I don't know, some crappy station. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. This is horrible.
And then the minute we got her right to the... All right, when do you drink? And then... Oh, that's big fun.
Oh, Christ.
And you know what? We could write the rules for that.
Daddy likey.
When Randy says pitchy, yes, Paula claps, Simon says off you go.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
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 Don, Mike.
Yes, we are. Howdy.
Good deal. Hey, on the reason why that driver in front of Tony Stewart got out of his way is his teammate. Otherwise, like in 48.
Oh, we're still stuck on.
No way.
Sir, my friend.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call the Don and Mike Show.
Listen to him laughing. Yeah. The eternal laugh of the damned. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Thank you, Bob.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Don, Mike.
Yes, close that door.
You shouldn't be driving with the door open. Cold out.
What's happening?
Yes, it's you, sir.
I think he closed
him
on the outside.
God, I thought you fell out of the moving vehicle.
What's happening?
I had to shut the door. It was raining out.
We heard that. What's up?
I just want to let you know about the Tony Stewart, the reason why that guy got out of his way.
Oh, is this the same guy?
Different guy.
Different guy.
Yeah, it's on the same guy.
Hold on, same guy.
Jesus, we played you out.
I thought I hung up on you.
Get out of here.
I'll tell you, Tony Stewart, quickly.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, that was outstanding. The way you choreographed.
You like that, huh? Hello? Are you there?
You walk off the stage.
See, we're equal opportunity here.
Even when we get compliments,
we'll play you out even when you're complimenting
the show. No one's standing by for the end of it, though. Everybody, as soon as they hear...
Ba-da-da-da.
Well, you'll see that some people try to talk through it. Some people will actually wait till the announcer, and then they know it's futile.
Don and Mike.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
What happened to you guys? I don't understand with the Oscars and the American Idol.
What is it you don't understand, my friend?
It's like there's so many more manly things to be talking about, but you guys rip on Ryan Seacrest, but you do these things.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
90%
of the time, I'm sorry. Plus, a one-time only reunion performance from Dream Girls.
I'm at work. It's cool.
Annual Academy Award.
I can wait. I'm still here.
What were you saying?
I was saying... It's fine. I'm at work. I'm just wasting time.
What?
What did you say?
I said I'm at work. I'm wasting time, so it's all good. You guys can play me off.
All good.
More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus,
okay, goddamn right we can.
We got an ice cream headache with that.
Central, and you couldn't...
Oh, God!
We finally done drove him off, Mike.
Good. That's a good thing.
We done drove him off.
Yeah, I know it gets a little tedious, but it's fun.
Sure it does.
For one day.
All right, there you go. That's your drinking game. Yeah. Every time we do that, that's because you're drunk right now.
You're loaded now.
I'm on my second beer.
Stop it now.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
And guess who else is here? How are you doing, Joe?
We'll be right back.
Shut Don't up. Get tired of that, though.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's go to Bob in New York. We don't have a lot of time, but hello, Bob.
Hi, how are you? Anyway, I want to be concise. My question is, I have had cancer in the past that I've had removed, and it was not up my colon. But since I feel that I might be susceptible to other cancers, I wanted to know, nutritionally speaking, are there any supplements one could take? And I also want to know if colon cancer can be transmitted by giving someone a dirty Sanchez.
Dr. Mike.
We haven't found a way to transmit colon cancer yet, fortunately.
Oh, so if I give someone a dirty Sanchez, they probably won't get cancer from the stool on my finger.
I don't. It's not communicable.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay, but you need to be screened. But know that even if you eat healthy, if there's family history also of colon cancer, that impacts you with potential...
Right, there hasn't been a family history of colon cancer, but do you think I have a colon problem since my farts never smell?
Well, I think that we probably don't have any other answers for you today.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
Oh, God.
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go. One of our listeners.
That guy. Can we just call him that guy?
That guy. Is he the guy that posts on our website where it says the Belcher? Johnny is...
Johnny Storm.
Is that him, Yanni?
That's him.
That's him.
That's the guy.
Hey, it's really our website. Fixed up.
Nice.
Facelift.
It's beautiful.
DonandMikeWebsite.com. And the last time I checked a couple hours ago, the affiliate link is finally there.
Hey. We have all accurate affiliates listed now?
Yep. We finally have. You know, for the longest time, we've still been on in Seattle and Tampa Bay. And now they've been replaced with the other cities that were soon to be canceled in, like, Miami and Albuquerque.
Well, those old ones were where we were kicked off the air. They were pretty logos, so they were hesitant to take the logos down.
Yeah. Oh, we had the nice logo, like, of the piece of cheese when we were on in Green Bay. And
yeah,
we had,
right.
We had the little...
Look nice on the map.
The little boat down by Tampa Bay. Uh-huh. Although the little boat could really be put down in South Florida.
Yeah, I'd rather have the boat down there. I really would. Love to have the boat back in Tampa, but c'est la vie.
That's a boat. Okay, let me see. Oscars, we have... covered it. Okay, enough of that. You heard about the Razzies? You don't care about that, do you?
No.
The Razzies? No, neither do
no.
I. I'll tell you something I did read over the weekend that made me sick.
What?
There is going to be a third Meet the Fockers movie.
Oh.
And it's going to be called Little Fockers.
Of course.
Okay. So about all of their babies.
So they're gonna, it's going to be, now they've gone... so far to the well, they're going to make it a kid's movie?
Well, Ben Stiller has not had the kid with the wife from Meet the Fockers.
Right.
Was that the second one, Meet the Fockers?
Meet the Fockers right. Was the second
it was
one.
Meet the Parents.
Meet the Parents was the
Fockers,
first one with
right.
De Niro.
And now it's Baby Fockers.
Little Baby Fockers. Little Fockers.
Little, what did I say? Baby
Fockers. Little
Fockers.
Baby
Fockers.
Baby. No, that's
out of here.
Great. It's Chris Hansen.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Hollywood won't
I'd let
agree.
You in just so I could feel you on top of me.
Hollywood will not agree with us.
Not to be confused with Baby Geniuses.
Right.
Wasn't that a movie Charlie loved?
Baby Geniuses Baby was one of Charlie's all-time favorites. He liked Happy Feet also, though.
Sure.
He was very happy that Happy Feet won an Oscar.
No, it is not Baby Fockers. It's Little Fockers.
Little Fockers. So it will be a kid's movie, obviously.
No, it is.
Or it'll be adults dealing with, like, three men and a baby.
It right. is. The plot will be that Ben Stiller and his wife in the movie have finally had the kid.
Right.
So, yeah, or
yeah.
kids.
Plural.
It's softcore.
So I read the script, isn't that where they pop open the bottle of champagne and it goes right through the baby's head?
Right,
and hilarity right, ensues.
Right through the soft spot.
Yeah.
In the baby's head.
And out the other side.
Baby Fockers.
If we wrote the script.
I like the guy.
You know, they did so much of that on the Oscars last night where they would show you how the scene set up. You know, she gently touches her forearm, so I've got scripts on the brain right now.
And the other thing about the Oscars was, did anybody notice the logo that they would put up as people were coming up to the stage had quotes from movies
mm-hmm.
that were, like, superimposed. And the one that I kept seeing was...
yes.
Make My Day.
Saw that.
Punk.
Yeah.
And also, Show Me the Money kept
right.
coming up
mm-hmm.
over and over. I didn't see any except those two
right.
main ones.
Do you know what I do
I
believe?
I would have liked to have seen Baby Fucker.
Someday.
Baby Fucker.
You will. Do you know what I think is the most overused clip and just reference in all of cinema? And I love the movie, so it's from Scarface. Say hello to my little friend.
And you know
how often do they run that?
How many people are there listening to the show right now who say that, who throw that out, who have no idea that it's from Scarface?
Right.
I know there was at least one guy who worked at WJFK.
Right.
And when we actually would work from that radio station,
mm-hmm.
who thought it was a reference to our penises.
Really?
And I said to the guy... Scarface, when he comes out with the guy, say hello to my little friend. He said, oh, is that what they're doing on SportsCenter?
Yeah, they play the tape, and they play, and they show the clip, and it's somehow become bigger than life. If you're a fan of that movie, which I am, you don't even... I mean, yeah, that was a big... It was a scene in the movie, but weren't there other more memorable things that went on in that
yes,
movie?
Yes, but that is one of those clips that even lives, like, on T-shirts where it says,
yeah.
hello to my little friend.
My little friend, then he blows the doors off.
And there's enough people that have not seen the movie that they
right.
don't put two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on, here we go. Breaking news. The Van Halen tour may not be dead yet.
Oh, thank God. This is excellent news.
The Van Halen tour may not be dead.
What's the latest?
Okay. Billboard.com. Says the postponement of the tour had nothing to do with fighting.
Ooh.
Oh, and yesterday at the NASCAR race, mm-hmm. Sammy Hagar was singing I Can't Drive 55.
Oh, cool.
And he had Michael Anthony there.
Yeah.
Michael Anthony came out to jam with him.
Yeah.
Kind of, I guess, as a dig to the other guys in Van Halen. Sure. Michael Anthony, great bass player, great backup singer. The absolute worst hair club for men, hair plugs that I've ever seen. Because
trying to look young.
The camera that they were using was, you know that overhead camera that's on a rope?
Yes, yes, okay. It's where you can see like the plays develop from the end zone.
Whatever, the sky cam.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
They're using this thing to give you the shot of Sammy Hagar and his band. So you're looking up down at them, and Michael Anthony sees it and looks up, and all I saw was like, if you take a Barbie doll, and pull the hair back.
Yeah, those plugs are designed to look, from the face on, not to look straight down at your head. I remember a guy we used to work with when that technology was in its infancy.
Hey, Dennis Reese, how you doing?
And he had all these holes. Do you remember the holes in back? Remember when he lifted his scalp up? He lifted his hair up, and they had gone. What they used to do is they'd go through the back of your neck. It was right above your hairline in the neck area, right in the back of your head. And they'd drill holes and then plant the plugs in the top of your head. It was disturbing.
Hi, Yanni. There was a guy I used to work with had the worst hair replacement surgery I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was, most of it was horrible in the day.
He had the to use his term, but I won't, the ring.
Right.
And so what they did was they surgically implanted a bladder in his head. And over a period of about 4 months, he would go in.
So he took a pee out of his nose?
Not quite. No, they would put...
a rubber bladder?
A rubber bladder, and he'd go in there and have air pumped into it every couple of weeks. And so at the end, he had this big donut thing that went around his head, and he couldn't cut his hair. He looked like Bozo the Clown. And then when it was all said and done, they took the bladder out and then took the skin and
Stretch the skin.
Stretch
the bladder.
Sewed it up.
Geez, shave your head.
The worst thing ever.
Just look like Jack if you're going to go through
that.
Up.
But, there are good examples. Remember, before we broke with her, Leah admitted that Kevin James had hair plugs put in.
Hair plugs and replacements.
Oh, that's right. Leah Remini.
And so if you ever see him on TV, you can actually put a ruler on his forehead and follow his hairline.
Leah Remini, right, Stevie?
In fact, it was so crowded today.
How crowded?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It was so crowded, I felt like I was in line for Leah Remini's vagina. Which is funny, of course, because she doesn't have one.
What about the vagina?
What about it?
Mm-hmm.
What about it?
The Van Halen tour will happen starting in April.
And they said it wasn't fighting? Was it because Eddie is like still in the coffin?
They're not fighting, Mike.
Good. Okay.
They love each other.
Good.
Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's a new lesbian for you. And I don't know if I'm particularly thrilled to announce this, but I will.
You are.
Suze Orman.
Okay. Suze Orman, the money lady?
Yeah, that chick with the big, gigantic Andre the Giant hands?
How to Get Rich.
Yes, she's been untouched by big man hands.
Huh.
She's a lesbian.
She does that other show, too, on CNBC. It's called Hot as Balls.
And hold on a second. Hot as Balls.
She's very rich.
Here's the story. Suze Orman made a startling announcement yesterday.
And I like that you call her Suze.
Well, her name is Susie, but she spells it like Suze.
Right.
Suze. Let me see. Here's a quote from her. She's a lesbian. She's never been touched by a man. And she said, I'm a 55-year-old virgin.
Really?
Wow. How about that?
Well, I guess then in her life as it is, in the life, she's never really all the way with that lesbian activity. I'm not sure what that entails.
No. I'm sure that hymen's been busted, though, right?
I mean, she's a virgin.
Well, a strap-on would be...
Yes, that's what I'm saying. She probably doesn't do that.
As well.
She probably just...
You mean there's never been a... La, 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 la.
There probably has been that, maybe, but nothing...
You need someone with a stronger tongue.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, Gene Simmons is the only person that comes to mind. I can't think of a woman.
Anyway, do you care that she's gay? I don't care.
No, I think it's fine.
And we do have a link on our website to Tyra Banks feeling up Catherine McPhee.
No, I'd like to see that.
Go to our website on the front page, DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Was that on the Oscars?
No, it was on the on the Tyra Banks show.
Tyra Banks show.
Tyra Banks. Where's that famous Tyra Banks saying, kiss my fat ass?
Oh, here it is.
Kiss my fat ass.
That's when Suze Orman said to her, your tongue's not long enough.
Suze Orman.
Strong enough.
Suze.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hello, this is Suze Orman. Would someone please bust my hymen?
Hello.
Hey, back in the day, probably about 15 years ago,
dude, I'm sorry. They're playing you out.
Go ahead.
Coming up, more Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. What?
Mr. Chance, doesn't back in the day automatically cue that music if you start any story out with, you know, back in the day.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Give it a try again.
I apologize for that phrase. About 15 years ago, hair plugs done, and he got an infection so bad he almost died. He was in the hospital for like 3 weeks.
Who's this we're talking about?
My uncle.
Yes. More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren.
His uncle, Sue Zorman.
Reunion performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th Annual Academy Awards.
Uncle Sue's.
Hello.
When's Uncle Sue's coming over?
Hello.
He's got a best handshake.
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good story.
We tried to play you out a couple of times.
Okay.
See you later. Bye-bye. Okay. Kind of a bad joke we've been trying to run into the ground today. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
Guys.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give you one. Oh, nice.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for acknowledging it. Thank you.
Suze Orman fits into the NPL category. There's lipsticks and the non-penetration.
NPL.
Thank you.
I like that.
See you.
NPL. Bye-bye. Hello.
WNPL.
Don and Mike Show.
If you start any story.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Radio up way too loud.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. You're next on NPL.
Okay. I apologize.
I'm Diane Reamjob on NPL.
NPL, we'd have to talk in softer voices.
I'm Diane Reamjob. This is NPL, the non-penetrating radio network. The non-penetrating lesbian network.
Thank you. Yes, you're on NPL. And this is All Things Penetrated.
Unpenetrable hymens. That is our topic on NPL.
So, what would you like to skim the surface of today?
Sugar Walls by Sheena Easton coming up on NPL.
This is NPL, the Non-Penetrating Lesbian Network.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Are you still there?
Come on, you. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
What's up?
Oh. Oh. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Go ahead.
Yeah, is this number three actually a combination of one?
Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Plus,
you got to listen for the cue, my friend.
He was on one of our favorite subjects too. I heard that through all that noise.
Number three.
Is it number three really related to? And I was like, straining to hear him.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City, if they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right, Don and Mike?
Yeah.
I think that's where they originated from, yeah.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Las Vegas, hello.
Uncomfortable. They know how to use their faces properly. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, let's see, we have phone lines ringing. We're going to get to the Buzz News Hour here in a moment. We have not yet heard the tape from the 1950s.
Oh, yeah.
Problem with women and problems with women in the workplace. I don't even know. Let me see.
Joe Haley, there's one thing I'll say for you.
What's that?
You've done a good job. You know how to handle men, and you know how to keep the line moving.
I'm going to save that till tomorrow.
You know how to keep the line moving.
That is too, too good.
They all have voices like that.
Yes, they do. Also, we still haven't gotten to Merrill Howard Kalin.
No.
He's still standing by.
The show is great.
All right, we've got all of those tapes.
MHK to his friends.
And we never did our Hugh Grant bit. We'll have to do that tomorrow.
True.
Jesus Christ. Want to do Wintertime Honk for Cash? Stand by. Here you go. Something we haven't gotten to. Lay King.
Lay.
Now, How many times have you and I, over the years, we've been busting Larry King's balls, mentioned that whatever the movie is, it's always got a rave from Larry King by it?
He's one of the sources. There are many of them, but he would be the most prominent of the easy, I think it's called the easy quote.
Here we go, Mike. If you look at the ads for The Good Shepherd, here are some Larry King quotes. The best spy movie ever! Exclamation point.
Way to be subtle, Larry.
Let me see. You, Me, and Dupree. The funniest movie ever.
This may be because they let him into the movies for free.
Two for the money. Al Pacino and, what's his name, Matthew McConaughey.
Right. Not one of Al Pacino's better movies.
Best gambling movie ever. How about the movie The Lovely? The
Kevin Klein, right?
The best musical biography ever made.
The best ever.
Okay, stand.
And you could go back, boy, I mean, you could really go back on all these, right? And see, he says they're all the best.
Well, what we did was we did a search, and we found some of his quotes.
Best I've ever seen.
And as it turns out, he likes saying best of its genre.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That is the number one. For instance, Pirates of the Caribbean, the original one.
Best cowboy gay movie I've ever seen.
Now, what he writes, best pirate movie ever.
Uh-huh.
Now, for Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
The sequel.
Best pirate sequel ever.
Ah, best pirate sequel. What haven't I said?
Okay, hold on a second. How about Letters from Iwo Jima?
Ah.
Best World War II movie ever.
Narrowed down to one. He didn't narrow it down to about Japanese people.
He did not.
Uh-huh.
Now, we did find a review for a movie about Turkish genocide.
Wow.
Called Screamers.
That sounds nasty.
Now, thank goodness he at least does not say best genocide movie
thank
ever.
Thank goodness, yes.
His quote on that was simply,
he would.
Very well done.
Very well. That's not a rave. That's, if you're getting that from Larry, you're not doing well.
Low key.
Okay, Mike. Here we go. Here's some movies.
Best Idi Amin biopic ever.
I'm going to ask you somebody. You, what you got to say, here's the game.
Okay.
Does Larry King in his quote for the movie say it's either the best, whatever the genre is,
right,
of all time, or does he say it's the funniest, whatever the genre is of all time,
mm-hmm,
or does he give you a third catchphrase?
Oh.
Which would be very well done.
Which would be, well, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
In the movie, the third, hold on, the second Meet the Fockers movie. So it's
the sequel to Meet the Parents, Meet the Fockers.
Right. Finally, a movie worth seeing over and over again. So he doesn't say,
it's glowing though,
best Fokker movie ever.
Right. Freshening it up. Best sequel about the Fockers.
Here we go, Mike. Dunga Din. Was it a best ever, a funniest ever, or was it one of his random quotes?
Best ever.
You're right. Best sword fighting movie.
Best sword fighting movie. And that's an ancient movie, is it not?
Yeah, I think so.
What about The Departed?
Okay, I'll give you what I think the quote will be. Best movie about Boston gangsters ever.
No.
What did he say?
Beautifully acted.
Oh, so not a rave.
Wild,
not really a rave.
The Queen.
Very well done.
You're right. The Queen, not very well done, but the quote for The Queen is one of my favorites. It's like,
and you know, you have to speak Larry where you can tell where he really doesn't like it.
Pick up the subtleties.
All the King's Men.
Best political biopic ever.
No. What's wrong with that movie?
Oh, he didn't like it.
Ooh. That's one.
That's a negative.
Like.
Oh, my God. What?
No, it's a positive. Because he's doing the negative like a reverse. It's like, what's wrong with it? Nothing.
Oh,
it's
you're right.
Okay, hold on.
I can't find a flaw. Let me in for free.
Castaway. Tom Hanks, Castaway.
How'd he lose that much weight?
I'm sorry. Best island movie ever.
All right.
Island movie.
I'm going to just try to make up my Larry quotes now.
Basic Instinct. And again, these are all quotes that Larry King gave to these movies when they were coming out.
Uh-huh. Basic Instinct?
Yes.
Okay. So good, I forgot I had hemorrhoids.
Now, again, that's one of his best ones.
Best?
Michael Douglas's best ever.
Wow.
Best ever.
How about The Rose? Bette Midler, The Rose.
Best jugs ever.
It is
best
the best.
Hanging Gardens.
It is the best. Bette Midler's best role.
Oh, God.
Of course.
He's safe that way, isn't he? And he gets quoted that way.
City Slickers.
Best delivery of a calf.
It is a best. Be more specific, okay. Please, Mike.
All right, I'm going to really do... I'll try to do it seriously. City Slickers, it is the best. Best Billy Crystal movie ever?
Winner.
Wow. Of course. Now, hold on. Mr. Saturday Night.
Okay. Now, just based on everybody's reviews of this movie, I think Rob and I are the only two people that even watch this movie. I'm going to say very well acted.
You're right. And this one, he says, Billy Crystal is off the charts. How about When Harry Met Sally?
Man, that's hard. That's a tough one. Is it a best? I say he gives it a best.
Yes.
Okay, you know he's going to go? Best Rob Reiner film ever.
No, actually we found out it's of the, I think Billy Crystal has like 13 movies.
Yeah.
There are four where he's, the quote is, best Billy Crystal movie ever.
Really?
Best Billy Crystal movie ever.
Yes, he's got integrity, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, how about Sands of Iwo Jima?
Oh, my God. He's already named the best World War II picture. And he can't say best Iwo Jima picture.
No.
I'm thirsty. That's the quote. I'm thirsty.
Sibley, loved it.
Loved it. Don't have any time to say anything else.
Okay, let me see. How about, the movie Breach. That is a movie that's out right now.
Boy, who stars in it? Does he say anything? Well,
it's got the character actor who was in The Bourne Supremacy.
Okay, so not a big guy. He's not going to give a best because it's not a big name that he can suck up to. So I'm going to say, well done. Well done.
I'm sorry, that is a best.
I got gas.
Best espionage movie ever.
I thought he said that about The Bourne Supremacy.
Hold on.
Best spy movie. Spy and espionage, same thing.
No. Different words.
Best spy movie was... The Good Shepherd was arguably the best spy movie ever made.
And what's he say about this one? Best espionage movie?
Best espionage movie.
They say that one.
Great.
Okay. This is fantastic. I almost think they're writing them for him.
Oh, here's another one, Mike.
Okay.
Joe Dirt. Oh. This is a great game, the Larry King
movie. Best David Spade movie ever.
You are right!
And that says something about David Spade.
I'll give it to you because he says funniest David Spade movie ever, but it's pretty much the same.
And I love them all, but this is the funniest. I only wish he played a spy.
Tim Allen, the Shaggy Dog.
Okay, this is just a theory. Best kids movie ever?
No.
All right, I'm out.
Tim Allen is a laugh riot. Now let's go to the Santa Claus.
Oh, that's another Tim Allen.
Sure is.
Tim Allen, is it another suck up to Tim Allen?
Well, you have to decide, is it the best ever? Is it the funniest ever? Or is it just one of his random thoughts?
Best Tim Allen holiday classic ever.
Oh, you're going to love this one. Really, this is his quote. If Tim Allen's in the movie, I'm in the theater.
There it is.
That's Larry. Larry King.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, I got the one for this. Welch's grape juice makes me gassy.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, man, what would he say about that? Okay, I think he's going to mention the director this time. I think he's going to say... Best Tarantino film ever.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Oh.
That's his quote.
No, it's not me. You know, I've seen it a million times.
Figures.
His quote is...
Larry didn't see Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction.
Wow.
I've never seen it.
Larry. I'm Larry from the corner. I'm curious.
Okay. This is kind of a trick question now. Shrek and Shrek 2.
Combined?
No. No.
Best 1-2 punch ever.
Mm. Shrek 2 is best animated feature because I'm in it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not to be confused with his quote from Shrek, which was simply best animated feature ever. And, of course, if you go to Toy Story, you have most refreshing animation ever.
Oh, that's nice. A nice change. Only wish they had espionage in it.
Let me see if I can find one more for you, Mike. Hold on. I gave you The Departed. I gave you The Queen. All the King's Men.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Wall Street.
Boy, he would he be that narrow? Best Charlie Sheen movie ever.
Mm-mm.
Something About Michael Douglas.
Mm-mm.
Something About Wall Street. Something. Best financial thriller ever.
Made me want to divest. That's it. He's busy. Busy Larry. What about... Oh, Rob. And he's Across America 9. Come on. When you get out of here.
I loved it.
Okay, I got one more for you, Mike.
Just loved it.
Did I mention this one already? If I did, there's more than one quote. Letters from Iwo Jima.
The quote for that movie would be, books cost too much.
Come on. Is it A, best I've ever seen, funniest or most moving I've ever seen, or is it one of his nonsensical...
It's a best. It's a best, because he's going to suck up to Clint Eastwood. Best war movie I've ever seen.
It made me cry.
Oh, even better.
It made me cry.
Thank you, Larry.
Let me see.
Oh, that's pleasantly vague. Folks, this is Lay King. It made me cry. I'd like to see Larry cry.
I'll work on it.
How about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? And he did not review this when it came out. He's doing this in a movie review book.
Oh. Dirtiest title ever. Dick Van Dyke is loaded.
I don't get it.
He doesn't get Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
That's his quote for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
It's a car. It's a boat. It flies.
Okay. Last one. Really last one.
Yes. Truly scrumptious.
Zoolander, Mike.
Ben Stiller's best work ever.
Close enough.
Ben Stiller's never been funnier.
There it is, Larry. Larry Sean King. King.
Larry King.
Cannon King.
Jesus Christ.
Chance Armstrong King.
Let me see. What else is... Well, anyway.
There we go. You got all the quotes there?
What are you
playing me out for?
I wish we had more time, Mike. We have to go to the Buzz News show now.
I wasn't even nominated. I didn't get a chance. Hello?
Larry?
Hello?
Hello, Larry?
Cameron Diaz, the announcer, and Helen Mirren, plus a one-time only reunion performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th annual...
The announcer over there. The announcer over there played me out. What a bastard.
You're doing the D's dumb nose.
That's what I do when I screw up. Sorry about that. I'm sorry I didn't... I'm sorry, Barbara, that I said your special was on at 6 p.m. I'm a dumbass.
We'll be right back with
Pause!
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hold on, that's not fair. I lost my place. You made me laugh. Give me a moment.
Well, that's the way he feels.
I know it is.
He's very upset, but you'll hear more about that later.
There it is. Okay, give me just a moment. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi,
Buzz.
Hi. Turns out I need a moment. Oh, no. I need just a moment to get things set up.
That works.
We actually made the cardinal mistake of talking about something that's going to happen on the show tomorrow.
More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time only reunion performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th Annual Academy Award.
Da, da, da.
The Don and Mike Show.
Da, da, da. Subsisting on a solid diet of quickies. Don and Mike.
We were talking about something we were going to do tomorrow, then we realized, oh, we can't do that. We're doing something else tomorrow.
Right.
And then Mike said something about that, and I started laughing about that. And then Rob said, hey, we went back on the air. So I'm sorry, we didn't have a record ready.
Got a little discombobulated there.
We're impressed.
Bubulated like
well, hi, everybody.
There's the culprit.
What am I, retarded?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
That'll be funny, too, tomorrow. I promise it will.
I look forward.
Isn't he a friend of yours, Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie knows him. Charlie knows him very well. Oh. Yes.
Charlie not here today?
Charlie's not here today, no. Charlie may be here tomorrow, though.
Too much hockey game for Charlie?
No, absolutely not. Charlie could be here any moment.
Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Don.
Where's Charlie?
Instantaneous. No, seriously, why are you talking to me now?
We'll talk to you
tomorrow. Talk to me tomorrow.
Thank you, Charlie.
That's what you said you were going to do.
Do you know this guy?
Uh-huh.
Not proud of it, but he does.
Well, I know.
Who is he?
He's the guy that's been all over your show.
Oh,
okay.
Jealousy, maybe.
Clever, Don. clever. Hi, there are two.
Hi there,
Bob. Hi, Don and Mike and Charlie. A lot of us wash our hands, a lot, especially this time of year.
Goddamn right, Buzz.
We talk about cough etiquette. We buy the antibiotic soaps and cleaners. We've tried the wipes and the gels. So
we keep our workstations clean.
Right. Yes. So why do we let sick children go to school? They're biohazards.
Mm-hmm.
We know they'll spread their virulent adult-killing germs to one another.
That's his favorite line. Buzz uses this off-air as well as on-air.
Yes, that thing you just said.
Yes,
children spreading virulent adult-killing germs. We know by sending them to school that somebody else's kid will give your kid something, and that he or she will give it to you, which you will then give to your coworkers. The School Nurse Association says students are coming to school sick more than ever, despite our newfound germophobia. The president of the Massachusetts chapter says moms often push Tylenol in the morning to get a kid off to school.
You know, one of the things about my kid's school is at the end of the year, and they do this, I think, for a lot of different sections of the school, middle school, lower school, what have
Hello.
You. They have the award for the kid with the perfect attendance record.
Right.
And I always kind of think, you know, at some time during the year, a kid especially is going to probably have some little problem. And, you know, these are the kids that are making everybody else.
There's a cost that goes with that.
I think it's not that.
What?
I think it's the babysitting.
Really?
Hmm.
They just push them out the door no matter how ill they are.
I don't know who would, Gary.
It says here, in this story, it says that moms often push Tylenol in the morning just to get the kid off to school. When the Tylenol wears off, the nurse finds out the kid's really got something.
Right.
By then, it's already spread to dozens of other people, and it's too late for mom and dad to come pick him up. They're at work. Meanwhile, where mom and dad work, things aren't much better. Nearly half.
Oh, dear.
Nearly half of all the jobs in the private sector don't provide sick days, not even one, none.
Okay, off you go.
So the parents go to work sick, and with whatever their kids brought home from school, there's now a move to force...
You're assuming that the kids are responsible for the parents being sick.
Don't you think that's a safe bet? Where does it come from?
Strollers.
There's now a move... There's now a move to force employers to provide sick leave, a paid sick leave for workers. Some employers can't afford that, of course, so there's still some details to be worked out.
Mike, let me explain it to you. You know, he's barren.
Yes.
I was with Buzz and Marcia this weekend.
We
socialized with them.
Right.
We spent time with them and their cats.
Mm-hmm.
Funny way they dress up their cats.
It was fun.
Talk to their cats like they're people.
Right.
We even heard from Buzz about how his one cat enjoys Slim Fast.
Yeah.
And
Monty.
If Buzz wants to call the cat, Buzz steps outside with the Slim Fast can, opens it up, and then...
Pops it open.
Shakes it a little bit, and the kitty comes running.
Because he loves the chocolatey goodness of Slim Fast.
Did you guys enjoy your dinner at Chuck E. Cheese? You know, I'm just looking at Janet going, they don't have kids.
But Don, take it a step further. It's not that he's barren. He cannot love.
Oh, I think he can. I would disagree with that. He has a large capacity for love.
Maybe, sure, in the active sense.
I mean, too much.
But what he is saying, the thing is, he hates children.
Yes.
And I don't think
his cats substitute the children, right?
I don't think he hates kids.
No.
He doesn't want to have them, and he doesn't want to hear about anybody who has them.
No. And he doesn't want them around.
But what he's saying is an absolute fact, and there is no way around this.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a kid and your kid's in school,
right.
I guarantee your kid's going to get sick and your kid is going to bring it home.
Right.
Because your kid is touching every other booger-eating kid in school.
Every doorknob, every toilet handle.
What can you do about it?
Right.
But Buzz, this is why guys like you shouldn't get uptight about it.
That?
Guys without kids,
uh-huh.
Because you think in some regard that you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
I got news for you. Every time Rob's kid
right.
touches his butt and then touches Rob.
And Rob comes to work and touches
Rob's
me.
Rob's kid might as well touch his butt and touch you.
I
and
know.
About you hating kids, Buzz,
well,
please,
really.
Please stop the threatening letters to my children. Please.
They started it.
I know. Be a bigger man.
In space.
You know, I find myself getting frustrated with my daughter when she'll say over the weekend, it's like a car, I go, how you doing? She goes, well, I got strep, you know, for the 8,000th time. And I go, how do you have strep again? Well, Carly, who was one of my grandkids, got an ear infection again.
Well, I said,
the kids are always sick. And then, you know, she turns it around on me. Well, all right, I won't send them to school anymore. It's like, okay, bingo. That's it.
Yeah, that's where they get it.
Everybody gets sick at school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess I can see why the parents kind of load the kids up and just...
It's the whole pressure thing, though. It's the whole pressure of performing in school, even at a very young age. You know, you got to be there. It's insane.
But it's a catch 22. I mean, you can't when you keep the kids home. They're not gonna get the schoolwork done.
Yeah.
No matter where you send them, they're gonna get sick and they're gonna bring it back to you.
I suppose.
And even if you don't have kids, you can still get sick from other people who are around kids.
But I haven't built up the resistance to those adult killing germs that kids are walking petri dishes. When my kids are sick, I keep them at home, I take them to Chuck E. Cheese, and I make sure that they play in the plastic balls.
What do you say, those adult killing germs?
That's right. Virulent adult killing germs. Because kids can tolerate diseases and viruses and that sort of thing that would just kill a regular adult.
Yeah.
Especially an adult without children who hasn't built up a tolerance to those kinds of germs.
Especially an older adult.
That's right. See? Thank you. Keep them home. Don't go to work sick either. In space, no one can hear you scream, especially with duct tape over your mouth and tranquilizing drugs coursing through your veins. It has come to this, Major Tom. In the aftermath of a recent story about the flipped-out astronaut, the question arose, what if that happens in space?
Uh-huh.
Today, NASA has an answer.
Okay.
The Smoking Gun website has NASA documents that outline our precise plans. If an astronaut goes psychotic, the other astronauts are supposed to, first, duct tape their wrists and ankles. Then, use bungee cords to attach their comrade to a seat. And finally, next, administer a powerful tranquilizer called Haldol, followed by Valium to keep the tranquility flowing.
Then have crazy sex float in zero gravity.
Woo!
And then contact NASA.
Uh-huh.
Sure, they were only married for 55 hours, so why shouldn't young Jason Alexander weigh in on the Britney triple rehab story?
This guy is a big idiot.
A London tabloid quotes Alexander saying, she definitely had a problem with drugs when we were together 3 years ago. We used ecstasy to party at night and cocaine during the day to stay awake. Then we'd take Valium or Vicodin to come down. This is a sea astronaut story above. Alexander says he had trouble keeping up with Britney's pace.
How can I see something above? All I see above are lights.
Yeah, it's just a gag, really. It's, you can't. That's the whole point of it, you see. It's ridiculous on the face of it. Tom Hanks likes that.
I knew he would.
No, he really likes it.
He likes this humor.
I understand it now that Tom is laughing. When you said see above, you are referencing as if someone was reading what you had just written.
When you listen to the Buzzcast, listen to it like you're reading the back of a pillbox.
Did you think it was weird when Tom Hanks did this last night at the Oscars?
It was very obnoxious.
It was expensive, really.
It was after the Ellen DeGeneres vacuum cleaner bit.
See above.
His kid brought home a virus. Young Alexander says he had trouble keeping up with Britney's pace, but he says she was having trouble keeping up with herself. One night in Vegas, he says she was sweating and having trouble breathing. Quote, I took her into the bathroom and threw her in the shower. She was unconscious. She fell. She wasn't moving. I thought she was dead. I thought, the bitch is going to effing die right here in front of me.
What about the vagina?
End quote. Her friend since childhood, Alexander, says he just doesn't want Britney to end up like Anna Nicole, who is still not buried despite her rapid deterioration.
Oh, man. What's that smell?
Oh, dear. Close of business Friday, Smith's mother, Virgie, filed a motion to stop the release of Anna's remains to the court-appointed guardian, and today that request was granted.
That made me, Anna Nicole... And her decomposing.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Made me think of feet.
Uh-huh.
Made me think of, it smelled like feet.
Right.
Made me think I finally remembered what it is I gave up for love.
What?
Scratching my athlete's foot.
Hey. With the pencil?
That's going to be rough. Scratching it at all.
So your feet might regenerate then?
No scratching for 40 days and 40 nights.
That's quite a challenge.
Not even a rub, Buzz. Not even like an over-the-sock rub.
What about dancing? Can you dance it off?
No, can't.
Maybe you could find a powerful dip.
You don't know how bad it is that I want to scratch so bad.
What if you, what about moving your toes?
It's not on my toes. It's on the ball of my feet.
What about if you're walking along and you kind of twist your foot? Is that allowed?
Do the chubby chucker.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's like it's like if you're an alcoholic and someone offers you a sip of near beer.
Uh-huh. It's a little masochistic, I think, just not allowing yourself to scratch something that itches.
But I think I've said this before. In certain circumstances, scratching an athlete's foot can be not as
good
exciting
as
sex, but yeah. It's got its own. You wait all day and you sit there and you start scratching, and then when the skin starts to flake off, you know that like that's the moment where like,
oh, that's making me it's just
sweet release.
You know how you got that, don't you?
Kids.
No barefooting. Kids. No barefooting at the gravel pit.
Our report on cadavers continues. We'll look at James Brown's when we're returning.
What was that, Buzz?
I said we're going to take a look at the condition of James Brown's body when we return.
Go ahead right now. We've got time.
Oh, I don't think we fell. All right. See, there's the DNA of James Brown.
More. Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren. Plus, a one-time only reunion performance from Dreamgirls.
How does Marcia yell pause when she really does? What does it sound like?
Pause.
Kind of like that.
That's funny. Funny.
Pretty good.
Cunning
mimic.
That's a good impression.
Good, I thought.
That's a good one.
I'll be here all week.
You say cunning mimic?
Yeah, cunning mimic.
Okay, we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespo?
The Don and Mike Show.
Those are nice shoes Buzz has on, but I'd hate to be in them.
Suck it all. Don and Mike.
Suck on that, losers.
Once again, here is Guy Burley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Yeah, we were talking about the DNA of James Brown, which his estate wants to use to prove or disprove his paternity of the boy whose mother is Tommy Rae Heine.
Heine,
as it turns out, was already married when she married James Brown. And she got the previous marriage annulled, but never remarried James, which means she technically may not be the widow Heine Brown after all.
I mean, he's still not buried, right?
Still not. Yeah. Yes, well, but much better preserved. Despite the longer period of time, much more well-preserved than Anna Nicole Smith.
Heine Brown! You got to remind me of feet. Makes me think of athlete's foot. I did not scratch.
Sorry, I mean to make you think.
During the break.
Good for you.
Didn't scratch.
I didn't want to cause you to itch. Speaking of brown sugar, though, Al Sharpton's ancestors apparently had a working relationship with the ancestors of the late Old South lawmaker Strom Thurmond.
This is Robert the Mailman.
Oh, interesting. The New York Daily News says Al's great-grandfather was a slave owned by Strom's first cousin. Research shows they share the same great-great-grandfather.
Hello there, Grandpa!
Would you bring me, I'm Strom, uh-huh. Would you bring me a mint julep, please?
Gladly. It's all enough.
Kiss my black ass!
It's enough to distract us from the fact that a record number of Americans are now living in poverty. 16 million, give or take a carload of kids, living below $10,000 a year line.
That's
some reason Tom Hanks finds that funny.
Sure, you know why he's rich.
Yeah, this is the kind of
very insensitive
rich. It is
he's rich.
Number of people making under $5,000 classified as severe poverty at its highest in 30
Joe.
Years. And the gap between the
half. How are you doing, Joe? Hi, Joe.
And the gap between the haves and the have-nots has gotten bigger as well.
A
new report says poverty's expanding 50% faster than the general population.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
There it is.
The poor are now the fastest-growing segment of that population.
So poor, so black. Thank you, Wolf Blitzer.
Paycheck says the study haven't kept up with the gains that have been made in productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And a new government report says if you want to see who's getting food stamps these days, look to the people who clean your office or serve you hamburgers at McDonald's. The Agriculture Department, which doles out the stamps, says working people, people with jobs, now make up nearly a third of all food stamp recipients. And more employers are counting on that. TJ Maxx even advises its employees whenever they're eligible to get food stamps. In many cases, even with the new minimum wage, they're still eligible.
I got news for you.
Yeah?
You put a food stamp on a letter?
Mm-hmm.
It don't get anywhere.
No, it doesn't go anywhere.
Don't get anywhere.
No, well, you put it on a box of market guaranteed. No problem. And in sports, a new report says American business will lose well over $1 billion in productivity during the March Madness. The study says the brackets, the scores, even the games online, all very distracting.
Hey, guys. Guys, it's Nance.
Not good, guys.
Guys.
Low scores, guys.
In Virginia Beach, a Catholic school has banned the students from chanting, "We love Jesus."
Do you think so, Jim?
Absolutely.
Jim would like that, I think. "We love Jesus."
Absolutely.
Sure he would. Mm-hmm. Catholic school, however, has banned its students from chanting that during basketball games, at least during the games against the kids from the Jewish school. The Catholic principal has since apologized to the Jewish school, saying, quote, "There's only one way you can take that."
You go with me. I got a plane.
There he is. We told you recently that Pakistan had brought back its annual kite flying festival this year. Well, the festival was canceled last year after the deaths that resulted from the festival the year before.
The kite wire is very, very sharp.
How about after we get finished with the broadcast, you come with me to the CBS party?
Sure, Jim.
Happily. It seems there were decapitations with some vicious kite strings.
Oh, they'll take your head clean off.
Made of metal or glass fiber.
Just ask Jim Nance.
Some people fell to their deaths from buildings trying to get a look at the kites. Some people got shot with celebratory gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the festival was back this year, and the results are in.
Uh-huh.
11 dead, over 100 injured. 700 arrested.
Oh, yep. My God.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh!
Sometimes the news just writes itself. Don't it, Buzz?
It sure do.
Well, listen on that note. We gotta go.
Time to go.
Time. See you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. And Head?
Lenny, it's a shame about those kites. Make no mistake.
Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren.
Sorry, Rob, we don't have any time.
Never was it more appropriate.
Green Girls on the 79th
This is the Don and Mike Show.